you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Do you have hair in your special place?
Okay, I think we got this worked out here. Today. I'm going to try this guy right here. Caller, you're live.
Hey, how are you?
We finally got you, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So, how you been?
I've been great. I'm wide awake.
Oh, that's good.
Anyway, the reason I call is because this is the first year, and I don't know how long, that I've been interested in football. I think the last time I cared was when Dave DeBuscher won the Stanley Cup and gave that great speech on the Don and Mike Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Dave DeBuscher, you're talking about with the New York Knicks?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he won the Who's This Thing? And that was when, you know what I missed the most?
Kind of listening.
I miss it when you crapped your pants.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Go get some pussy
right out.
All right.
Okay, so you're a liar too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I
go and yourself. Where's your crap detector now, see?
Folks, I hope you didn't get that. I hope we didn't get that on. Okay.
Oh, whoopsies.
We have gotten this idiot twice. Where do we find these people, for heaven's sakes? Let's try this guy.
Yeah, I've heard him before.
Oh, yeah.
He has a very noticeable setup.
Oh, did he?
Oh, well, he asks you certain questions. And then when you hear the telling word Don and Mike.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've ever talked to this guy. Has he called other shows?
Yes. There's also a little clue here, too, you missed, I noticed.
Okay.
When he said Dave DeBuscher.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter.
When he said about that show, I said, oh, he always talks about that show, the Don and Mike Show. That's when he comes with his delivery.
Well, now we know, delivery. So we'll be on guard again. So what's on your mind this morning?
I thought you was perceptive, man.
Right, I am perceptive.
Oh, great.
One more? Is there another one? There's a second one here.
You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, let me turn down my radio.
We have 5 minutes left.
I just wanted to, hello.
Yes,
hear me?
I'd like to squeeze in a few calls, so go ahead, be brief.
I want to know what your opinion is of a statement that John Kerry made, who looks like he's a bit constipated, in my opinion, by the way. But he made a comment that Don Geronimo has the largest he's ever touched.
Oh, God.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, hi, everybody.
Do you have hair in your special place?
Oh, no.
Can he hamster get a spin on its wheel?
Oh, no.
On that, losers.
Right. Yeah.
By that, here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome. Hi, everybody.
Hi there. Howdy, little brains.
Hello.
We're little brains just like you. Don and Mike Show, new episode, everybody, on this Wednesday. You just heard the phone number, 877-365. 3636. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to compliment y'all on the killer website, and kudos to Johnny and Craig for keeping it going, and I also wanted to ask Mr. O'Mara a question.
Ah. I am here for your question.
You ever wanted to get a little dark room there, boy?
Sling Blade. Sling Blade is in love with me.
I like weights.
Sling Blade has replaced the pull my finger guy.
I would have to agree with the guy. Our website is pretty great.
DonandMikeWebsite.com,
and a lot of the discussion that we had not only about race, but especially about guns yesterday was picked up on our website. It really made me proud to have a website that I would tell people to go look at. And I say that knowing that most of the crap that's posted there I disagree with. But it's nice to have that forum and nice to see our listeners discussing it with each other. So, you know, way to go to you guys.
Amen. And, you know, a lot of people have a lot to say. We don't always agree with them, but that's what it's there for. That's why we're here.
The only one that I wanted to quote today was...
here we go.
This one.
No.
This is from our website?
Yeah. Let me see. Guy says... He alludes to the fact that he's had some type of military background.
Is anywhere in the posting the words, are the words self-loathing liberal pussies? Is that you?
No, not at all. But it says, allow me to ramble.
All right.
If you're smart, you can figure out how to kill. Some of us are paid decent wages to do just that. Many at the ripe age of 18. I have made hair, teeth, and eyeballs out of some glorious bastards in my time. That is my lot in life.
Right.
Not a lot, but it's a life. I'm intelligent and rational. I sit back and evaluate how easy killing could be. At the ball field, at the airport, at the mall.
Wow.
But I don't act upon my thoughts, because that is not right.
Well, I'm glad he knows that.
Yeah. Pray to God that the irrational folks are not intelligent enough to think like I do.
Well, you know...
My question to that guy, and you can continue this on the website.
He's thinking about it.
Yeah. I don't care what your background is. If you're on a plane or at a mall, and you're thinking how easy it would be to kill everybody...
Mass murder.
I mean, check yourself in to the next stall.
Well, it's not that he thinks about that, because who hasn't been in those security lines...
Hold on, with the reports. Listen again.
That's the way he expresses it, though.
I sit back and evaluate.
Evaluate. There you go. There's
the
word.
How easy killing would be.
Yeah.
: at the ball field, : at the airport, : at the mall, period.
Yeah. Good punctuation. He's saying something that I've heard before, but he's saying it in a very different way. He expresses it like he's planning it. He analyzes how easy it would be.
When
I've been in those security lines and I said, geez, I think we're all targets, I guess I look at it from a different perspective.
So listen, little brains, go ahead, discuss that on the website, knock yourself out.
Talk about yourself.
Discuss. It was good having that commentary the last couple of days. We'll get back to it at some point, and we will be announcing our race summit. Yeah!
Oh, boy.
I think tomorrow.
Very good.
We'll announce it. What? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I think I played with you the other day on Xbox Live, man.
I've got about 80 of our listeners as my friends, so who the hell knows? Probably so.
Really? What's your gamer tag, dude?
Fuente, dude.
What is it?
Fuente, dude.
Fuente?
F-U-E-N-T-E.
Right on, right on. Hey, did you try those strawberry milkshake Oreos yet?
I bought 3 boxes of them and brought them home, and I was disappointed because the cookie was chocolate and not vanilla.
Oh, dude, they're so good, really. You need to go buy a box.
You know what you should do? You should put them in the microwave oven and then put bananas on them. Did you ever cover your Xbox with Hershey syrup? And then lick it off, lick off the top while it was still warm.
All the time. Did you?
Could go to Crohn's and they've got that dark chocolate and they dip fresh fruit in it.
It drips right off your chin.
Right into your chin.
Where's the honey, Junior? Did you ever crack an egg on the hard drive of your Xbox? Put some Tabasco sauce on and then slurp it down.
Do you have hair on your special place?
Greg House.
Are you the panty hamster?
Or the squishy mitten? Is the panty hamster going to take a spin? And don't forget the other highlight from House last night.
I can't pee in public bathrooms.
Hello?
Don't you run and roll?
I can't pee in public bathrooms.
Hi.
Congratulations, you're pregnant.
It's my curse to bear.
He figures everything out, House does.
Always. The Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, boys.
Hello.
Hey, I want to get away from this serious discussion. Have you guys talked yet about the pizza-throwing incident at Fenway Park?
What?
I just watched it.
It's all over YouTube. Yeah.
I just watched it. What is everybody making the big deal? Why did the guy throw the pizza?
Because the guy who touched the ball...
Yeah.
I think got in the way of the Red Sox guy that was going to make the catch.
No, but it was an Angels guy.
That's not the story. Big, I'm from Maine, and this guy was the thrower of the pizza was from Prescott, Maine.
Prescott.
And what happened was these two guys in the stands had been fighting the entire game. They've been screaming at each other back and forth, and finally the guy who swatted the ball from the Angels player, the guy with the pizza, had the opportunity to throw it, threw it, and nailed him right upside the head.
So it was just the pandemonium of the moment. With the player coming over to the foul territory.
So it had nothing to do with the guy actually reaching out for the ball at the same time as, I'm sorry, if it wasn't the Red Sox.
No, the guy that threw the pizza was like three rows in back of
him. No, I'm talking about the guy who was trying to catch the ball.
No, they knocked the ball away because it was in Fenway. And it was an Angels player, so they were the home faithful that tried to knock the ball out of the way.
The finals call is the guy comes down with a full pizza, with a whole pizza, and the guy starts ribbing him because, oh, you're a fat ass and you're going to eat a whole pizza.
Right.
And then when he had the opportunity, there goes a slice of pepperoni. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
This is why we need a cooling off period before you can buy a pizza.
Too bad you weren't there, Mike. You could have stood up and gotten all of the ushers together and done that thing you did out in Florida.
Sure, gotten into a fight with a guy. But see, they would have been my people. I would have laughed with everybody else. That's a good move.
Yeah.
That's a good move, throwing the whole pizza pie.
Last night, American Idol, I'm not the first to say this, but I will go, as Mike likes saying, on record, tonight is the night that Sangina is gone.
Yeah, that's not news.
Tonight.
Yeah, that's a lock. That's a stone-cold lock.
I don't think it is a stone-cold lock.
It was the worst performance combined with, finally, some very severe judging comments from everybody. They didn't let them off the hook.
Here is my wild card. The wild card is the Justin Timberlake boy.
Wild.
That is wild.
And I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because he got up and sang some song, and Simon starts reaming him and says, you sound, yeah.
That's right, Rob.
I missed that?
Simon reams him right on stage.
Uh-huh. Wow. You're not trying hard enough.
And he said you were nasally.
Yeah.
And the kid says to him, as they're applauding, as they're playing the loud music, Ryan Seacrest says, well, Simon doesn't know what he's talking about because his head is so big.
Mm.
And the kid says, hey, I was sounding nasally on purpose. Now the camera goes back to Simon Cowell, and he says, so you were doing that on purpose, intentionally. Mm. And the kid goes, yeah, I'm surprised you wouldn't know that about singing. It's a style of singing.
Ooh.
I've not done it at all.
He's breaking the prime directive on American Idol. He's giving back talk to Simon, and even Ryan Seacrest intervened to say, hey, quit while you were ahead.
Now, as Simon Cowell is getting ready for his retort, the kid says, and incidentally, I'd like to say my heart really goes out to all of the people at Virginia Tech.
Yeah, he's from Virginia, and he wants to send his thoughts out to everybody.
And at that moment, they go to a shot of Simon Cowell.
Not making him look good.
Who's rolling his eyes like, cannot believe that you're taking this moment of the argument to bring Virginia Tech into this.
Well, because it happened in that exchange, it seemed a little insincere on the part of Chris, the singer. But then they got to Simon later in the broadcast.
Well, Simon got to have his mea culpa at the end.
Well, I think Simon was probably encouraged to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I think Simon was probably encouraged to say, let me just say, our thoughts go out as well, because he came out, no matter what the kid was doing, Simon came out looking very, very bad in that.
And that's why I think he's my wild card, because I've seen it in a clip on a network newscast today, out of context, where one of the anchors says, and what's wrong with Simon Cowell? Because here's the clip they show. It's just the kid standing on stage saying, and I got all the love in the world for the kids at Virginia Tech, and then the shot of Simon Cowell rolling his eyes and shrugging as if to say, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's not played in context.
Mm-hmm.
I think America's savvy enough to pick up on that.
I think you're probably right. I think they might pick up on that. But it's, it was bad judgment on the kid's part to pop off to Simon like that. With Simon, you got to give the one word zingers. You don't sit there and really attack the judges, because that's what they're there for, and nobody likes that. But the Simon PR, he's in a little bit of hot water today. It's not severe hot water, but people saw that reaction. You know, he said, my thoughts go out to the people of Virginia Tech. He immediately cut to Simon rolling his eyes.
Right. Yeah, and you don't know that Simon's rolling his eyes because, hey, the kid was in the middle of an argument and threw that in right in the middle.
Yeah, he's basically you know, it certainly didn't come across as sincere to me when he did that, especially since they started American Idol, you know, with a comment about the tragedy. And then, you know, but then later on, do you think that was all Simon Cowell, or do you think somebody said, hey, listen, Simon, you got to say something?
Somebody
really looked like an ass.
Somebody with the earpiece said,
right,
before you're done critiquing the last contestant.
It's that guy in the third row, that other British guy that's in the
Nigel,
third row.
Nigel. Yeah. Take like 10 seconds and say you guys are sad about Virginia Tech as well.
Yeah.
Please.
Had to.
That's why live TV is the best.
And it's bad enough that they're going to do a country night, but they do a country night with the artist picking songs that nobody knows.
Right.
The only one that picked a song that I knew, a country song that I knew, was Sangina, and he picks a Bonnie Raitt song.
Not a country song, really.
Not really. Kind of a crossover
here
song.
Here he is last night on American Idol, Sangina.
There he is. Sticking it in his bandana. And I really thought, when Sangina first came on stage, I said to Carl, I said, watch this, that Simon is already planning what he's going to say about the bandana look with Sangina. And then he was so intent on just saying he was horrible that he didn't say anything about the look.
Because, see, the thing is, Sangina would be the logical choice, the favorite to be voted off, you would think.
Sure. Unquestionably.
Especially because last night Simon Cowell attempted to cut through the crap and said, in essence, okay, you know, the joke is over.
So we've had our fun.
You know, we've had this guy on every single week.
Well, right? Sangina's come off a couple of weeks where he's gotten very good reviews from the judges.
Yeah.
And, you know, even Simon said it wasn't horrible. I guess that was last week. So this week, with a little prodding from the judges, but I guess Sangina has his little fan club out there.
Utterly horrendous.
There it is. There it is. And that's exactly what it was. And he makes me mad the way he sings. You know, Sangina was just doing with such a lack of energy. That's
you have hair in your special place.
and not to be a ball buster and nitpicker, it's let's give them something to talk about, a little something to talk about. Let's give them something to talk about. Let's talk about love.
Right.
It's not over and over again. Let's give them something to talk about. Let's get it's a little something to figure out.
Uh-huh.
Let's give them something to talk about. How about love?
Yeah, and he clips. Love. He doesn't hit notes. Oh. He clips the notes. He doesn't do anything. He's off key. He's off rhythm. He's off pitch.
Much like me. And over again, it was just, let's give them something to talk about.
Repeating that line. But he's perfectly comfortable with his female songs. You know, nobody even mentions that to the guy. You know, how about a high-pitched male voice? I guess you don't get a lot of those in country music.
No.
But he's really, truly into picking female songs. I think he's done it before. Yeah. Except for Besame, Besame Mucho.
Oh, yeah, don't forget he rocked onto the Kinks.
Right on.
And he's sitting there with his, you know, little sleeves hanging 6 inches down past his hand.
Voted for him last night.
Good for you. Good for you.
I did. I got.
I liked John Norman last night. I really enjoyed John Norman's
performance.
Yes.
Phil Connors.
I enjoyed John Norman's performance thoroughly last night.
He was not
night.
Bad. You hate that guy, don't you, Rob?
He goes tonight. You watch it.
No, Phil's not going anywhere tonight.
And last night, you actually got a shot of Melinda Doolittle, and you actually got to see how that gigantic head kind of goes on the back of her neck.
Yeah.
It's because of the outfit she had on.
Well, now you're speaking in such disparaging terms of my lady. My lady Melinda.
Your lady Melinda, who has like the midget head?
But she's phenomenal. She's light years ahead of anything. I include Lakeisha in that.
She's very talented. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, it's the entire package.
Right.
That's kind of what we've voted for. That's part of it.
Well,
the look.
Yeah, but look what the look did. You know, we lost legs last week. We lost legs. And now she's sputing off all over the place about the fact that they tried to sex her up. They were trying to sex her up. I didn't stay up late for the New York newscast, but that's what they were teasing.
Yeah.
She's here to tell us how they put pressure on her to look sexy. Oh, so sorry. So sorry they did that to you. Is it Haley? Is that the one? Haley?
Yeah, Haley.
Baby. Haley, baby.
Anyway, I
just love Melinda's performance.
Sangina would be my obvious choice. Chris would be, if there's any justice in the world, it will be Chris, the Justin Timberlake boy tonight.
Will they have a bottom three or a bottom two now that we've gone to seven?
To seven, they might put them in the first group of three, safe, and then maybe four, and then maybe four down to two.
Right.
What do you think there, Gene Rayburn?
Well, I think last year how they did it is they put three on one side, three on the one side, and left someone in the middle, and the person in the middle, they said, you're in one of these groups. And they made them choose which group they thought he was in.
Ooh, remember that? That's a good one.
That was Taylor Hicks they did it with.
I believe so.
And he had to pick what he thought was the winning group.
And it was horribly awkward.
Let's give something to talk about. Talk about love, love, love.
Jesus. On a skateboard. Get out of here.
I hope he's safe.
Well, you like to shake up American Idol. That's right. You're not respecting the purity of the competition.
Oh, so listen, if the Justin Timberlake boy hadn't acted up last night, yeah. I would have said it's time to get rid of Sangina.
You would have been ready for Sangina?
I'd like to make it a real show, but being as that boy...
I think you're right about the bottom two. It will be Sangina and that guy, Chris.
But being as that boy wanted to take that awkward moment to make what was obviously not a from-the-heart thought about what
patronizing,
was
I thought.
Yeah, and you got to know that show is so tightly scripted, even though it's live, that they tell those idiot contestants, hey, listen, don't say anything about nothing.
Right.
You know, say thank you, say you love your fans, whatever. You know, and as soon as he said it, you know that all over the Fox control room, they had to be going, did he just say what I thought he said? Okay, get the camera off Simon now. Off Simon now. Off Simon. Ryan, move him away. Ryan. Air Force One.
There will be
a runway now.
There will be an enormous bestseller if somebody writes a tell-all book from a producer or a behind-the-scenes person at American Idol, because I know we've all got a lot of questions as far as what happens. It's very immediate, though. It's like what happened last night.
Right.
But I'd just love to know the logistics. I'd like to know what those contestants are told. What they can say, what they can't say, if there are rules given, you know, if there's a breakdown of how they're supposed to handle themselves. I'm not sure.
Here's a good story about Paula Abdul.
Oh, good.
Let me see. This is from MSNBC.
Hot.
She was on a Hot as Balls. She was on a sold-out Southwest Airlines flight from San Jose to Burbank. And she demanded first class, even though there's no first class on Southwest Airlines. So then she went to the gate in front of people. This is the problem. She's doing this in front of people. And asked to be let on the plane and seated first. She had to be in the front row. And then they said, well, only little kids and people with disabilities and the elderly were allowed to board first. She said, but I'm Paula Abdul. I need to go on first.
I need to get my drink.
One lady in line said, you're no Sangina. Sangina. I'm so used to saying it the wrong way.
That was the comment to Paula Abdul.
You're no Sangina. You have to board like everybody else. The crowd started to laugh.
Sure.
Except Paula Abdul.
Of course.
Once boarding began, Paula Abdul pushed her way in front of the rest of the passengers, and she did get on the plane first.
Well.
And she tried to keep the seat next to her empty, telling people it was taken.
Oh, wow.
Finally, a Southwest flight attendant told her she had to give up the seat because the flight was full. Paula Abdul kept her head down and was twitchy during much of the trip.
Twitchy. You know what I would have done?
Southwest Airlines says they were proud to have Paula Abdul on their plane, and she was no problem. And Paula Abdul says, I don't even want to talk about it.
If I was a gate attendant, I would find the fattest, smelliest guy that I could possibly find and stand by and say, yes, you, sir, and I would sit next to him. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
It would.
You know, like that commercial they show all the time with the two fat guys surrounding the lady and they're all laughing?
Oh, yeah.
When we were talking last week about words and how words hurt, about something that would bother white people, that wouldn't bother black people, there is a universal, being fat myself, when we were on the plane coming back from Jamaica from our vacation, we were sitting in first class. Because that's the way I roll, baby.
I know.
And there was a guy who had his entire family there. Now, you know me, I size people up right away.
Yes.
I estimated that, good for him, he was on what appeared to be maybe his first or second wife. He was an older guy, like maybe going 60.
Mm-hmm.
But she appeared to be relatively the same age. Hmm. He was nice and loving and attentive to his three kids. He had just come back from Jamaica, as we had. He was bald. He had some hair in the back, and he had the beads in the back of his hair, and he was like a progressive-type hippie dad.
Right. You know, it's a mistake, though, if you're a bald guy to get your hair braided.
Like leaning around back and saying, hey, Johnny, did you notice on Channel 11 they got a rockin' track right now? Turn it on. I think you'll really like it. You know, and the kids will have to go, okay, Dad.
How old were the kids?
Kids are 11, 8, 7.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as we're sitting there, I don't mind telling you, I weighed myself today. I weigh 213, a little over my goal weight, but what the hell. I'm on this plane, and I'm sitting one row behind the guy, and the seat belt was a little tight. Not that I'm dying, but it was a little tight. I don't say anything about it to anybody, but as the kids are sitting in their seats, one of them pulls out a seat extender and says,
"Oh, the belt."
Says, "Hey, Daddy, what is this?" And the progressive dad with the beads in his hair turns around and says, "Oh, Johnny, that's for very, very fat people who are so fat they can't get into the chairs, and they're so incredibly fat they can't get the seatbelt around them. It's for fat people." And then the daughter says, "Let me see the thing for fat people." And I'm looking around going, I pray that there's not a giant, fat, mad guy on this flight.
Sure, sure.
Because this guy...
they're loud enough for everybody to hear on the plane.
Oh, very loud. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, if only he knew that I had, like, 2 inches to spare on the belt myself.
You didn't... I'm surprised that you stretched it out that far.
Yeah.
That must be an unusually short seat, though.
Doesn't
that
sound right.
Because, I mean, you're not big... You're not in that...
No, I didn't think so, but I got to be honest that it was a little tight, and I don't doubt that's why someone asked for the extended. But this guy, Mr. Celebrity he most resembled Mr. Burns on holiday.
I had a fat moment on my plane on the way down on a recent trip that I took that the seat was broken. Now, wait a minute. It was broken before. Now it was
understood.
Broken. It was broken to the extent where twice two flight attendants came up to me and said, "You're going to have to return that to its upright position."
Oh,
and okay. I would return it to the upright position, and then there was just nothing there. It's not like I heard a snap or anything.
Right.
But it would go back, and the whole time I'm thinking the lady in back of me is thinking I'm Johnny Fatass, right, because the seat is reclining and there's literally nothing. It was an old plane. It was an old, vibrated 30,000 feet plane.
Worst fat guy moment is, do you remember when we were in the prop plane?
Yes.
I think flying into the jet port in
Portland, Maine.
Portland, Maine,
yeah.
And they split us up because we were both on the same side of the plane.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's right.
That was pretty bad.
And that was, now normally they would always do that to you guys, because you guys would always do that. You would always travel
together.
Sit together like two schoolgirls.
Too fat to sit together. I do get my great revenge on this guy, though, because as he continued the fatty thing with his family.
Fatty.
I'm sitting one row behind with Janet, and I'm like, you know, I should stand up and tell this guy that I only got like 2 inches in this thing, and I'm not obese. Just shut the frig up, Mr. Progressive Dad.
Was he a skinny guy?
Yeah, and he got out at one point, and he was the loud talker, because his family was like two kids, one row over and one kid next and one behind, like, "Hey, Johnny, I got my BlackBerry going. Want to play a game online?" You know, he's one of these guys.
And then the whole family had occupied the first class cabin.
Yeah, they had,
which
I think,
just for some reason, like, pisses me
six
off.
Out of the eight seats, and Janet and I had the other two seats.
I mean, they're throwing their money away.
We were sitting there the whole time listening to this before we took off, and as soon as we got in the air and the light goes off saying you go to the John, I said, "Janet, oh, I got to pee like a racehorse. I'll be right back." And I get up, and I walk past the guy, and I say, "Hey, how you doing?" He says, "Very well." I said, "I hope you don't mind. I'm going to be first in the bathroom because I am fat."
Nice dig. And that's when you got into the fist fight, right?
No, he looked at me and didn't even put two and two together.
He didn't acknowledge it? He didn't acknowledge that you were giving him a zinger?
He smiled.
Really?
He just smiled. Yeah. And you know why? I don't think he really got it.
No, you know why he doesn't get it? He doesn't get it because he has a condo and a family compound in the middle of Lake Mead.
Right.
He lives in Lake Mead. He is always in Lake Mead, and he never will leave Lake Mead.
Well, so do I. I live in Lake Mead as well.
No, but you know, you live in Lake Mead in a different way. You actually can venture out of Lake Mead quite often. In fact, you do it on a daily basis. You just give people, everybody that comes across you, directions to get to your lake. Does that make any sense to you?
Kind of a compliment. Thank you.
It is. You don't live in Lake Mead, but you never leave Lake Mead without talking about it. Does that make any sense to you?
The more you say it, the more I don't know if it's a compliment. But... So thank you.
We all live in Lake Mead.
Yeah, we have to.
In this business? Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. You have to live in Lake Mead.
No, I forgot all about that. Don't read about Paula Abdul on the plane. No, Johnny. That's for fat people.
And do I read further into this that perhaps, you know, most celebrities would be savvy enough not to put themselves into a situation like that?
Yeah.
Do you think perhaps the reason she was oblivious to that is
there's
because
a hole.
Yeah, because she's wasted?
Right.
I've got to fly.
What not?
Yeah.
And did you notice last night on American Idol, Simon's sitting position, which seems to get more and more pronounced every week, where he is actively flexing his shoulders forward so as to prevent America from seeing his man boobs.
He really should do something about that.
And or change outfits. Throw on a Randy frock.
Yeah.
You know, why do you have to wear the no T-shirt with the light cotton?
Because he's a stud.
Yeah, but he's got D-cups.
He thinks he's a stud.
He really does. But he sits now every time. And let's welcome our judges, Randy, Paula, and Simon. And Simon's sitting there with his shoulders hunched forward, giving that little look sort of sideways. He's always posed.
This whole season, though, they've openly kidded him about his man boobs. Do you remember when they showed the video of them going to Africa and they had some African kid draw a picture of him on a blackboard and he drew a man with big women's breasts?
And once again, the dynamic between Ryan Seacrest and Simon Cowell, you never really know. They really sell the disagreements. They sell it so beautifully.
Now, I'm positive it's a gag. But
I think it's completely
contrived. When he says, like, hey, shut up, Ryan.
Big mouth. They're good at it, though.
Big mouth.
I love it, though. I love the tension. They're good. Yeah, they're very good at selling it. They really are.
Where are we? Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. Hey, you're on the air. What's up?
Don and Mike.
Right.
What's happening, brothers?
Hey, brother.
Hello, brother.
Hello, friend.
You tell us.
In the Canada lately?
Let's talk about this. Then Johnny's going to win this competition, man.
All right. Thank you for that insightful commentary. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, last week I had a flight on a Delta plane, and they sat me next to this big fat guy, and I looked at him, and I said, boy, you ever been on Malcolm Mara in a little dark room?
You know, since you're mentioning me, can I take this time out, speaking of American Idol, to thank the Coca-Cola Bottling Company for what I take as a personal thank you from them every single week.
How's that?
I'd like to say you're welcome.
For
you see the ads when they go for Coca-Cola that say, thank you for drinking?
Oh, yeah.
I always take that one personally.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. You're very, very welcome.
I hate to ruin that for you. That's a crazy, that's like a play on words by them.
Oh, I thought it was a public service announcement.
No, they meant thank you for drinking Coca-Cola.
Because
it's good. You get it, Mike?
I thought they were a little progressive, you know, not being so politically correct.
Like a play on thank you for not smoking.
Right. Oh, thank you for drinking. I thought it was just a generic term. Thank you for drinking.
I thought it was like a Jack and Coke thing that they had going.
Right.
Right?
Well, you know, I'm interpreting it my own way. And I'm going to say you're welcome to Coca-Cola.
For some of you who are maybe a little more desperate, maybe it's a Coke and vodka.
Right.
That's not my bag, but I know someone in this room.
Michael Mara.
Who's been known to have vodka with Diet Coke?
Have I had vodka with Diet Coke?
There was a time.
When?
My friend, about a month ago, you told me one night at your joint you're living on it.
Vodka and Diet Coke?
You told me that you drank vodka and Diet Coke together.
Well, I'm sure I've consumed every combination known to mankind.
You know, on
a regular basis, it wasn't rum.
No, I think it was one night that you just said you were pounding. Maybe you said to me in real life, not on the radio. Diet Coke and vodka.
Diet Coke and vodka.
It was
not going to sit here and deny it.
No, Mike.
Because really, at about quarter of one, you never know.
It was in real life because you said to me, "Have you ever
enjoyed vodka and Coke?"
Nothing wrong with it. Well, I don't know.
I mean, I know rum is the classic rum and Diet Coke.
Right. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show. I'm just repeating what I heard.
I must have been still drunk.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air. What's up?
Well, I have only one issue with House. I love that show, but they are the only people in the hospital. There are no techs. There are no service people.
Right.
Nobody.
Keep it like that.
Well, I suppose I'll send a letter to the network because you're retarded.
Mm-hmm. You have hair on your special place.
Do you have hair on your special place? Hey, the panty hamster is going to take a spin on the wheel.
Do you have hair on your special place?
Panty hamster get a spin on its wheel?
Wheel? I didn't know he went that high.
Yeah, sometimes he does.
Greg House?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if I'm stupid or not, but I really laughed out. I didn't see it coming that he had sent the flowers.
Yeah, funny.
To that guy. I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No, Janet said to me, you didn't get that like the moment the guy
walked. Oh, that was right away that you knew he did.
No, the moment the guy walked in, I was like, oh, man, that's funny. She's like, wow, you're slow.
I have a House question.
Yeah?
The scenarios in House, are they based on, in any way, shape, or form, on real medical knowledge, real medical facts?
I can't think so.
Because I've been using male enhancement cream for the better part of 3 years.
I think the facts are real. The cases are conglomerations of other cases, and none of them based on any real case per se,
but I think the facts they impart are real.
And in this day and age...
There ought to be a website.
In this day and age, going back to the plot of House last night, wouldn't the guy just take a pill now as opposed to penis creams?
Oh, they've got... let me familiarize you with the publication known as Butt Man. I'm sure that you could go to the back of Buttman right now and see all sorts of the products that they
creams,
have.
Creams, lotions.
That's pretty much butts right to the last page.
Some people have a hard time taking a pill.
Well, no, they have creams and they have...
you're just showing me pornography.
You know, the secret with cream is to apply it vigorously. Well, they have creams, they have pills.
Right.
And I'm very curious.
You didn't find whatever you were looking for in that edition of Buttman.
No, you know, incidentally, which makes this pretty high quality pornography because you go from the front to the back and it's mostly just A-list porn.
Mike O'Mara for Buttman.
Buttman.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Try the videos.
Hello. Hey, what's up?
Hey, I think Mike was drinking vanilla vodka.
Yeah, that's what I was drinking.
With Diet Coke, maybe.
No, vanilla vodka.
Diet Vanilla Coke.
No, I think, I remember you in the office telling me, well, it's a moot point, whatever. I mean, why are we making this like it was the most awful, like you went out and raped and killed and pillaged?
Because I think it was vanilla vodka and Diet Coke. I think that's why I didn't remember it. Yeah. I just thought of straight vodka, regular vodka. Talking, let's start mixing.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
The blackouts have started.
Hey, I don't know about you, but I think Lakeisha is the wild card this week.
I think that's possible.
No way.
I think that is possible.
No way. I would bet a week of your salary on it, friend.
I would think her girth is like, you know, getting to people, and they've already done the single mother thing, so I think she's done.
Yeah, she is incredibly talented. She makes it all the way to the finals.
Nah. I think she's lost weight.
No, she has not.
I think she loses weight every time she goes to the bathroom.
How about all right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Ah, Kiki, you're going to be safe, Kiki.
Hey, hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, I'm somewhat of an American Chopper aficionado. I've been watching this since day one.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that they are still on the Discovery HD Theater. They are still running the up-to-date episodes. Yesterday, there was the newer one, the PV bike, the guitar bike that they're building. It was on a Discovery HD Theater.
Cool. Oh, you know, you're right, and I'll tell you why. This is what a nerd I am about American Choppers. My new HD DVR is picking that up on Channel 76 on DirecTV.
Good.
And I noticed that at the end, when they do the credits, it says a production of TLC.
Right.
In conjunction with Discovery Channel.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
It's much better on Discovery HD because all the colors and the clarity, you get to see the bike much better. And,
so, hold on. You're telling me that if you watch in HD, the colors are better?
You can, Don.
I don't think so. I think you're going to have to reevaluate that. You want to rephrase that?
You're going to have to sell me on this high definition. I'm just not a believer.
Another fad.
Give it a week.
Another useless fad.
You should call it what the people on the Eastern Shore call it. High density TV. I went into Duke's radio shack. He said, do you have high density TV? I said, what?
High density.
High density TV. Yeah. I love high dense.
It's a lot heavier than the other set.
Oh, good luck moving it.
Right.
Who doesn't love high def? Of course, we know about that. We love high definition. And that's why you see nice, pretty colors. And high def is my life, which reminds me that last night when I got home, I went into my Rudy Martsky file. I'm going somewhere here with this. Tried to find Rudy's current address. I know he lives down in Orlando. Going to try to place a call to Mr. Martsky, see if he'd like to join us on the telephone.
Very good. That'd be great.
Turns out, just left a message, but when I was going through this gigantic file of Rudy's stuff, I got a million pictures of him with us,
right,
and us at his house, and us. There is a photograph of us holding the underpants.
Oh. Really?
Yes, there is.
Wow.
There is.
Oh, photographic evidence. Can you put it on the website?
I got to bring it in and show it to you. And actually, really, I have to ask Rudy first.
Yes, yeah. That would be the fair thing to do.
Because,
damn it.
It's pretty graphic. Anyway, as I was going through this stuff, I know what made me think of this. Stupid things that I've said that never get quoted. I say so many stupid things. There is something that I kept from the USA Today from, I guess, 15 years ago. It's when Fox first got football, and they put the box in the corner with the score.
Right.
I was actually interviewed by Rudy about that innovation.
I remember.
And he's got all of these people in the TV and radio industry, all of these heavy hitters weighing in on this thing, saying, it's great, it's an innovation, people will love it. I'm the one guy,
of course.
My quote, and this is in USA Today 15 years ago, says, Don Geronimo, blah, 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 Don and Mike Schell, blah, blah, at the time was working on the Redskins broadcast. My quote was, it's the worst innovation in my over 30 years of watching football. It will never last.
And that's why it went by the boards.
And now I looked at that last night.
Now you couldn't live without it.
I don't know how retarded I was, because now I'm mad if there's an inch of the screen that's not taken up with something popping out at me.
You're a contrarian. That's what you are. You like to go the opposite way. You don't want to go, everybody was raving about it and the technology. You decided you'd take it down you want to make a bigger splash. That's why you said it probably. You wanted to be the different guy, the voice of dissent.
I remember it really did bother me.
I know it did.
I remember saying.
I was trying to let you off the hook there.
No, I remember exactly what I said. Well,
so you're being contrarian there.
It's going to take up a corner of the screen. What if a play happens in that corner of the screen?
Exactly.
You're not going to be able to see it.
Don Geronimo, football purist, says.
Yeah,
and it will never last.
When you like something, you don't want it to change. So that's part of it too. The resistance.
You do fear change. Yeah.
Yeah, but in some ways, I embrace change.
I know you do. But if you really like something,
like
you love technology, you love the latest gadgets.
Oh my God! And with everything on the screen at once, when I was watching NASCAR, I think I mentioned I've signed up for that NASCAR Hot Pass thing,
where they have all the different camera angles.
You've got five different drivers at once, and as you go to each of their channels, there are four different boxes on each channel. One box that shows the Fox feed of the entire race, another box that has your driver's pit area, another box that has your driver's crew chief.
You can choose.
And then, no, these are all on the screen at the same time.
Right.
And one box that just shows your driver going around in circles. So you can go from one channel, see everything happening on all four things, go to the next one, there's four more boxes for Jeff Gordon, go to the next one, there's four more boxes for Montoya.
Good. You just couldn't embrace that change when it was with the NFL.
No, I couldn't.
Years ago. You wanted that screen to be clear. But you know what it is? It's simple getting used to it.
Yeah.
No, I think the first time anybody sees anything in the way of their screen, then you don't see it. Eventually you don't see it. It becomes part of your subconscious.
And no one even knows that was ever in the newspaper.
Until now.
It probably is, if you ask me, out of all the things I've ever said and have been, people have taken notice of, it's probably the thing I'm most embarrassed of.
I understand. And you still have it to refer to.
Yes.
Along with a picture of, so the picture with holding Rudy's underwear up isn't up there for you? It's
no.
The quote in the paper.
The quote in the paper.
It doesn't matter that you weren't right. You got quoted. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but it's like, you know what, Buzz? In retrospect, it's like being the guy who said, the light bulb? I don't like it. No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. I like using candles better.
But you're right. People have forgotten that remark until now.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, I think that, it's a question of, you got to make statements in this life. You got to make a fist.
You took a stand.
You made a fist.
Anyway, I'm very embarrassed about that.
You made a big, hairy, stupid fist, but you made a fist. That's the thing. That's the thing that counts. You got out there and you said it. I wasn't interviewed on that. You know what I would have said? Where is it? Where's it located? Because I wasn't paying that close attention. You know, back in the days, 15 years ago, you were sitting 5 feet away from the TV, staring at it.
With all the things you and Mike have said over the years, what is it that you're most embarrassed about? You wish death on people. You wish awful, awful, awful health on people. You told people to shut up, told people to go to hell. Well, probably why I said the Fox box was the worst innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch! God, what a dummy I am.
And the thing that I get quoted on that, that I said that the ass is a wonderful erogenous zone. I've said that forever.
But that will never be wrong.
That will never be wrong. I stand by that. That'll be on my statue. My statue in New England. That's right. And you know what? It'll be on my statue, and I don't even know how to spell erogenous. So I'm very excited about that.
Hello there. I'm Don and Mike show. Hello? Oops, one more. Let's see if this one works. Hi.
Hello now. It be the man. Oh, that nice. Where's the grease man at?
You know what? Just about a week too late with this, right?
Yeah, very, very much too late.
Oh, why is such an ass? My mother, oh, I'm sorry.
And it's always invoking the name of the grease man. That can sabotage a series of phone calls, whether it comes at the end or the beginning.
Let's try this one. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, very well. How about you?
Doing great. I'm wondering, do you think this cell phone thing is going to catch on?
I think it will, old sport.
Not a chance. Well, my lord, we got a break.
Yeah. Well, lady, it was a fine opening segment. It truly was. And don't feel discouraged about going on the record for things you strongly believe in.
I will not, Mike.
You know, at the time, you thought it might really be a passing fancy. It might have been gone. Little box up there. Now it's everywhere.
Block any
tickers, scrawls, crawls, I should say. Not scrawls.
Can't live without it. And how many times have you been watching something on TV and you totally zone out because you're reading what's on the bottom of the screen?
I think the Yankees are one of the holdouts that don't use that type of stuff, that they don't show the score as regularly as other teams do where they have it on all the time.
Oh, really?
And it drives me absolutely insane. When because as soon now, whenever you look in on any sporting event...
Now you can't live without it.
You want to see the score immediately. Right, you need it. It's impressive.
That's why I feel so stupid!
But you will bring that picture into the underwear, right?
Oh, yes.
For us, if nothing else.
I look forward to that. Tomorrow, I promise.
Wild stuff.
Okay, Paul. I'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Utterly horrendous.
I'm being serious. Honestly, it was as bad as anything we see at the beginning of American Idol. You know where all the
Simon. Come on. Even if it wasn't his best performance, you've really never liked this guy. So was it the song, or you just don't like Zendaya?
Who rattled your cage? This is...
Well, I've made it about all of
it. To the left. Come over here, Simon.
But Paula, if he came out and he yelled, it would Simon ever like.
What I'm trying to say is, I know this has been funny for a while, but based on the fact that we are supposed to be finding an American Idol, it was hideous.
Right.
I mean, this ridiculous song.
Randy, if Zendaya nailed it, would Simon ever really like it from this?
I liked him last week, Big Mouth.
No, he liked it. The singing was on point.
You obviously weren't watching last week. Watch the show last week.
The singing was bad today, but I do like the scarf on the hair. That was kind of...
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
Thank God.
Let's all run out and get the scarves for the hair now, America. Zendaya.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
Don't know. The Don and Mike Show.
A frig is going on there.
And Reverend Don and Mike.
Oh, hell yeah. Right.
You boys make me sick.
Right. Hi, everybody.
You know what? I think that everybody is going to vomit due to boredom.
I don't think so.
Panty hamster get a spin on its wheel?
Hey, kids.
You have hair in your special place.
Hi, Joe.
Sangina.
Sangina was the spitfire last night.
Yep.
And speaking of spitting, what's that relationship with him and Ryan Seacrest? You know, Ryan really rode to his defense last night. Very interesting, almost passionately so.
He thinks it's because they have an hour to fill.
The lady's always right.
my lord.
Lord, he does.
Lord of the castle.
Thou art consumed with thine American idol.
Tonight, Sangina.
I will have a big cauldron of mead cooking on the stove.
And I shall be jousting
until thine American idol gets delivered to my castle with my moat.
Who thou thinks will be shunned? Ah, thou hast picked either Chris or Sangina.
Now,
wench Janet,
bring me my turkey leg.
A little piece of mutton to enjoy thou show. Thart.
And like at the Renaissance Festival, steak on a stick.
Yeah, steak on a steak.
Yeah, that's right. Although I always call it steak on a stick.
Steak on a steak.
Because I'm retarded.
Isn't it time almost for the Renaissance Festival? Doesn't it go now almost 12 months?
It's in the fall, Mike. It's in the fall.
Oh, it's in the fall. You missed it.
It's in the fall.
Mm.
Oh, you know what? I was going to mention a moment ago.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
I always get the setup on that wrong. It starts off...
Hey, you know something?
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know something?
Yeah.
I was going to mention when we were talking about... The guy called me about Xbox. Did he play me on Xbox?
Right.
I've been playing a lot of our listeners in Madden on Xbox, but I'm really letting down everybody in Madden Nation because I am absolutely addicted to Guitar Hero 2 now that it's come out for Xbox. And I am absolutely 100% like a mongoloid trying to play this thing. I've never played a guitar in my life.
Right.
I don't really understand about chord progression.
Right.
I've pretty much nailed Surrender and also Strutter by Kiss.
Pretty good.
But beyond that, I'm hopeless. Like, for instance, You Really Got Me. I still have to play it at such a slow speed because it has a variable speed.
Right. Explain to me the Guitar Hero. Okay. It is not really playing the guitar. It's pressing buttons. Does it have strings can strum?
No, here's the deal. You have an actual, like, kiddie guitar.
Right.
That has five buttons where you would have the different chords.
Okay.
Then you have a little thingy, a little
lever,
not a lover,
no. Nipple.
No, it's a little. It's just an edge.
All right,
like this that goes up and down.
Is it flexible?
Yes, it is. Where the guitar pick would be.
Right. Okay,
right. It's like in essence, it's your joystick. Like
do you use your fingers or do you use a pick?
Oh no, you use your finger.
Okay, right.
And you always use your finger, Mike. You never use a pick. You know that.
Isolate some of these discussions.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Excellent. And what I'm discovering is and you have to stand up. Here's the thing why it's really something you should only do by yourself unless you're really drunk with other people.
Okay.
Because you don't want other people seeing you while you're playing this game.
No.
It offers you up the actual track of whatever song it is that's available, 70
right.
songs. And on the screen, you see almost like, remember the game Twister?
Yeah.
Remember the big dots
right.
that were on the mat?
Right.
What you see rolling in front of you, almost on a tractor belt, are the notes coming up that you have to hit.
Okay.
Meaning that it goes red, green, red, green, yellow.
Play by color.
Long
yellow.
So those
are the buttons you have to push while you're strumming at the same time.
It's a little like Dance Dance Revolution. Have you ever seen that in a video, arcade?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Where you have to dance and put your feet. That's very cool. I was wondering how they made that work.
Except, I'm finding that you can't just keep your finger on one chord. Mm-hmm. You've got to be really coordinated to keep your finger on one chord and keep hitting this power chord.
So in a way, you do have to play the notes.
Yeah, which is why I'm saying I'm retarded because it says over 70 songs are available.
Are you making progress?
You have to beat 10 songs to be able to get to the library of more than 70.
Oh.
I've only beaten...
Oh, so you have 10 songs to start with, and you won't get more unless you can play them.
Right. And I've mastered Strutter, and I've mastered Surrender.
Well, good.
But You Really Got Me, I'm awful at.
I would think that would be easy, like, na 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 na.
You would think so. You really would think so. Now, I've never read music. Even
Is it just the chords?
You can play either guitar or bass.
Na, 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 na. Na, na, na,
and you got to picture me now standing in front of my TV, and I've got the guitar. I'm holding it like a real guitar.
Right.
And the thing is, once the song starts...
Is it real guitar size?
It's like kitty guitar size.
Okay, that makes it a little sillier now.
But it's close enough.
Right.
But it's, it does make you look like an idiot, because once you really get going...
Uh-huh.
You really have to tap your foot and kind of feel the music.
If you're playing to a track, you got to do that.
And it is absolutely 100% embarrassment guaranteed.
But you're in love with it.
Yes.
Maybe who knows? If you obsess on it like you did with Madden, maybe you'll be able to go public with it.
I don't know if I am coordinated enough to pull it off.
Okay. Could you bring it in sometime? Is it possible that we would be able to play with it on the show?
I don't see why we couldn't get an Xbox down here and bring it in and wire it into the... that's an outstanding idea.
I'd love to do that. I'd love to see it. I've heard a lot about it. And there are places that have competitions now. Did you know that? I mean, much like the Madden game, they have competitions.
Well, that's what I was going to mention as well. I've gotten a bunch of invitations from our listeners, because if you go to the Xbox Live friends and stuff, you can pull up someone's profile, mm-hmm. and if you pull up my profile, you'll see... Guitar Hero is one of the games I play.
Uh-huh.
I've already been invited to play online.
Ooh. So it's a competition online, too.
Against people.
So that would be the public embarrassment that you're trying to avoid.
I cannot handle making it through the first round.
Sometimes.
Much less playing against someone online. But God damn, it's addictive.
It seems to me, though, if you're reading notes, they're just in color form. So you're getting the chord progressions. They're showing that. You have to use... two hands, you have to press the buttons and strum at the same time. It's remarkably close to playing a real guitar.
And I'm going, in most cases, at the easiest possible level.
Is there any way, and I know you might not have the answer to this question, if you're playing the game, is there anything in the game that would actually be somewhat of a stepping stone to playing a real guitar? Do you think you'd have any sense of a real guitar, or is it just toy?
No, maybe for a guy like me. Yeah, I am learning about chords,
right?
And what chord does what, and where you.
Because it's a question of not pressing buttons. You'd move to putting your fingers in different places. But if you say you have to take the finger off the button when the different notes are coming up, that's the same thing as playing a real guitar.
Yeah. And I'm finding the problem is, much like I did with Madden and NBA 2K7 and everything else, you've got to learn where the buttons are. In this case, on the guitar, as opposed to a controller, because I find myself looking at the guitar going. And looking at the screen going, okay, it's red, red, yellow, yellow, green. Mm-hmm. And you go, red, red, yellow, yellow, green. You look up and it's a yellow and you go, oh, my God, my hand's on green.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
My idea was rejected by Xbox. I wanted to piggyback on this. Cello Hero. Cello Hero was not really, and I thought it would be bigger and better because you get to hold a stick. But it didn't work that well.
And the only thing that I could imagine that would be more fun than watching someone who didn't know it. That's how embarrassing.
Well, you got plenty of DVDs for that.
But that's how embarrassing, in essence, this could be.
You could
be
Swinding.
You could be Brad from Long John Silver's.
We'd all be in that competition, too.
And have what's-her-name, Phoebe Cates, opening the door.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He might as well be playing Guitar Hero in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
And there's another idea for a game. Always coming up with new ideas for different ways to make money. J.O. Hero. Now there's a game. Who's the best?
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yo, Don,
hey.
Mike.
Howdy.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about some Guitar Hero.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dude, have you unlocked the Star Power yet?
Star Power.
I keep getting that, and then every time I get it, I screw it up. I miss a note, and I lose it.
No.
Star Power.
It'll stay on for a good 10 seconds.
So what does Star Power enable you to do?
Is that where the notes go all blue?
Yeah, when you tilt the guitar straight up.
Yeah, I've had that.
So that means you could probably, if it's a Star Power, you keep your finger on one button and be able to play all the notes just by strumming.
In essence, that's what the book says. But
that to me would be more fun. Seem to me if you could do the everybody does air guitar with da na 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 na.
Yeah, but the thing is, like for instance on da na 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 na, it's red green red green red green, red green red green red green red, yellow 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 yellow. Green, red, green, red, green, red. Red, green, red, green, red, green.
I thought it would be red, 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 green.
Yeah.
Red, 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 green. Red, 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 green.
Like that, yeah.
And then green, blue, 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 blue.
But I mean, I agree. I'm doing an awful job of describing this.
I want to see it.
It's harder than it seems. I want to play with it. And what kills me is every time I've been in Walmart, Target, wherever, I see some, like, five-year-old standing in front of this thing playing, I don't know, Guns N' Roses at the most impossible level. And the kid is standing there going, working the whammy bar and everything else.
I would say this is probably going to motivate a lot of kids to, you know, take it seriously, maybe play real guitar. I might be wrong about that. It's like The Last Starfighter, that old movie where they actually used them to recruit starfighters.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Shout it out as a video.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
I just wanted to throw in my two cents as well. There's actually a trick. You might kind of see it as a cop-out, but since there's five buttons and you only got four fingers to play with and it's kind of hard to get to that last one.
Tell me.
You can actually tape down the green one because the thing is, you can actually hold down as many buttons as you want. You can actually, like, for example, like Don, you were saying with the red, green,
yeah.
You can actually hold the button down in advance and strum, because the important thing is strumming.
So if you hold all the buttons down in advance, can you strum and make the right sounds?
Well, no. I mean, the only thing is, though, like, because then we'll see it as a chord, but the thing I'm saying is that if you see a note coming down the conveyor belt, like you said,
right.
And you don't want to, you don't have to press the button down and strum at the same time. You can have the button down way before.
Okay, but then see, this is where
that's like playing the accordion.
But this must get to the point where I am retarded and not coordinated.
Accordion
for instance,
hero.
In Strutter, there's a point where I don't know. You got to hit like 20 notes in a row that are all the very.
What is Strutter? Okay.
Anyway, you got to hit this thing over and over again.
Right.
And I did what this guy said. I kept my finger on the yellow button. And all I really got to do is just hit 20 of these little yellow landmines in a row.
Where's the brown button?
On the back of the guitar, Mike.
Where it should be.
All the way on the back.
Do you have a, can you tune it?
Well, it's not a button per se. It's more like a little input for your cable.
I believe that the best that I have done.
I mean, there is a really a brown spot on this guitar. The guy was answering me seriously.
I think he's playing along.
I think the best that I've done thus far is something like at the end that says like 92%, where it was like 272 out of 340 notes hit.
Well, I can say is that I did Freebird, which is one of the last songs in the last category, which is the hardest. And I did it one short of expert, and the way I did it was I taped down the green button just so I could use my four fingers on the other four buttons.
See, I don't know if I would tape down the button or not. That's like cheating on Madden.
How quick is it before you start really having fun, even if you're a tar?
Oh, right away. I mean, right away. That's why I'm addicted to it.
I mean, I might have to grab this one.
I mean, ask Janet seriously. What an idiot I look like with Strutter playing.
What's it, $29, $30?
It was like $80.
It's 80, so it's not ridiculous.
No, it's good.
It's not like buying a whole game system, right? About the same as a guitar, actually.
Really?
Starter guitar, sure. Well, just think of all the other games, though. Drum Hero. Guitar, seriously, yeah. Guitar Hero.
Mine, Tambourine
Hero. Flute Hero.
I mean, Tambourine Hero. I've seen it for years, and it only just became available for Xbox. So I'm
Kazoo waiting. Hero. Where the notes are analyzed.
Hey, Rob, what about Jew Harp Hero?
Jew's Harp.
Yeah,
not Jew Harp.
Jew's Harp.
Excuse me.
Oops. Sorry, everybody.
Hold on.
Sorry.
Sorry I did that. Jew Harp.
I found the Jew's Harp during my move. I forgot I had
Jew's Harp, a very hard instrument to play.
I'm boing, very boing. Good at it.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Very painful if you don't get
That's
it right.
That's the boing boing instrument, right?
Don't hit your teeth. That's what you gotta do.
It's a wonderful game with our Xbox.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi there.
Wow.
Oh, listen how excited she is to hear me. Oh, God. When's that gonna wear off, huh? Anyway, hi, sweetie.
It's not gonna wear off.
Good for you. You don't want that to wear off.
No, I do not. Quick, honest question for you, Jan, and I'll let you go on with your day. Please, please to be telling everybody seriously, because you've walked in on me when I'm playing Guitar Hero. How stupid do I look standing?
Oh, you're cute.
No, really.
Be honest. He's so fun. I actually sat down and just kind of kneeled down on the floor and watched you playing because it was just, it reminded me of when Danny was little.
That's
and he
nephew.
Got a new game. And you were standing there and you were so focused on trying to hit all those little colored buttons, like on that It's like that
conveyor belt, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. But you're standing there, and you're kind of like, you know how like little toddlers will try to dance, and they kind of just kind of bop up and down.
No good.
I mean, that's very good like with what the you were. It was just, I loved it. I'm just like, this is really great, and it was perfect timing because I was feeling so bad from a physical standpoint, and that really just kind of like made me, that was like what the doctor ordered because there was nothing that could like make me feel better. And then just watching you, and you're kind of like, you're first of all, you started tapping your right foot, and then your knees were kind of like, you're kind of like bopping up and down on your knees, and it was wonderful.
It's very retarded.
What was he wearing?
He was wearing his Packer stuff, but everything was gray. He had black tennis shoes on, and he had gray sweatpants on and a gray sweatshirt.
Wow. Goodness, okay. You don't even remember
that. Was
kind
of disappointing. I was hoping I'd get something different.
Like nude.
Or underwear or something like that.
I stopped there. No one else needs to know what he was wearing outside of that.
I do look ridiculous playing that game, though. Just please be honest.
Please. Yeah, ridiculous.
You're not going to get
it. All right, then. You know what, then? Because I don't want this just to be all sweetness and nice. Let's talk about my chapped ass. How's that looking?
Much better.
See, it's all good.
Better.
You can't lose.
It's all good.
Much better.
And you should embrace that.
How, my guy, I am. I'm very happy. Jenna,
I mean, at first it was like a flesh-eating virus.
Yeah,
like,
hey.
Almost like a leper.
I told everybody when you said it looks like I have hives on my
butt. You did.
Music. What's the word I'm looking for? Soothe the chapped ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, sweetie. I'll see you later.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Okay,
goodbye.
Bye then. Okay, bye then.
Bye then.
Bye.
Bye.
She's got to cheer up.
Yeah, I know. She likes me.
I can tell. And I think that's great.
How about that?
That's a very good honeymoon period.
You know, somewhere out there.
I think the honeymoon might last forever.
There is some poor schmuck out there who's never been in love. And how about me? Yeah. I got hit with the lucky stick twice.
Mm-hmm. That's
right.
A good thing.
No, I should go play the lottery today. I really should.
I played it last night. I did. I actually did. I bought lottery tickets. I saw the sign. I played the Mega Millions game last night.
Why, were you feeling lucky?
Yeah. Yeah, I was at the store, dropped my kids off from school, went to the little store, and it's the little store around from my kids' school, and just saw the sign there, and I said, I don't know anything about it, I don't play the lottery on a regular basis. I said, does that machine, I didn't say S out, does that spit out like regular numbers where you don't have to pick them yourself? She said, yeah. I said, I'll take $10 worth. And then I called Carla, and she got excited about it, so she bought them, and then... she went on the website, and we couldn't figure out where they draw the numbers.
I know.
So we had to actually go to the website and then write the numbers down. And we won out of $20 worth of Mega Millions tickets. We won, oh, yeah, that's right, nothing. Not a thing. Because, you know, you can match all sorts of different combinations and win, like, $2 or something like that.
Have you seen the new American Idol lottery tickets?
No.
Yeah.
Is that a scratch-off?
Sure is.
A scratch-off's fun because you find out right away.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Find out you lost right away.
Yes, of course.
I've been there. Yeah. Well, you know, I've been trying to tone down my trips to some of the finer gambling emporiums in the United States, and I still need that rush. Sure. I still need that fix.
You did the rush from a scratch-off ticket?
Didn't do it for me.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, it was Mega Millions. This wasn't a scratch-off. This was wait, you know, gather around, gather them all together, write down the numbers, and then find out you lost.
Yeah.
Not nearly as close to you know, losing the millions that you lose in the casinos quickly, fast, with bells and whistles.
You're a major league player.
Yeah, but I mean, I've had to, because of last year, I have had to modify.
You Mike? Know.
Yes.
Las Vegas is calling.
Well, we, you know, that one time we went up there, we had, you know, in between all our drunken revelry and wonderful dinners.
I have stripped my jeans.
I managed to urinate away a significant amount of cash. You know, and then when you're hungover like I was that day on my way out.
Can you say hi, roller?
Tanya, let me tell you something. I'm just trying to modify my behavior a little bit. You know, it's always going to be excess in certain areas for me. It's just I got to pick what's going to be the excess.
That's right.
Right now, the excess is exercise.
Couples only for your second honeymoon. You go to the show right on the strip.
Oh, God.
Right on the strip. Las Vegas is calling.
That's great. That's great.
Those deer curse the alley.
Well, they all run together.
They are similar boys.
And he wasn't even standing in the right pool.
Panty hamster get a spin on its wheel?
He was standing at Mandalay Bay.
Dude, I love your curse the alley.
Thanks so much.
Chocolate day!
Hey, Johnny yet?
Jesus Christ.
Give me a headache today. That's a good headache, though. Not a bad headache. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's happening?
Hey, sorry. Hey, I think the more you train musically, the harder that guitar hero is. I trained for a while, but man.
I should be aces at it, because I've done nothing.
Well, you know, I think I speak with authority in that I'm the only, to the best of my knowledge, the only professional musician that's on the show. And
it's true.
Hey, wait a minute. Tom, I don't understand. Did I make some sort of joke?
Some CB interference.
I don't really understand.
You know. Anyway, as you were saying.
I don't remember. I just was saying I had to get a reaction out of Tom, and I got it. All I said was I was a professional musician.
Listen to it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
He doesn't believe me.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
I have been guitared for that game for about a year now.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you need to watch out. You get carpal tunnel playing that thing.
Do you know, I was reading online about the game and found out there's a guy, I think he maybe plays for the Minnesota Twins. I'm not really good with the team. But he is a major league player who had to go on the DL for 15 days because he injured his wrist playing Guitar Hero.
No. Those guys, major league athletes on the road. I mean, they're all about video games. It's That's great. What they do. That doesn't surprise me a bit.
Well, you know what we'll do? We will work on getting my Xbox in here, and we'll get Guitar Hero in here and hook it up. And
can it be kind of a competitive thing?
No, absolutely.
Let's see who's the most guitar.
Absolutely, because even though I've had it for a couple of weeks, I guarantee you'll smoke me right away.
No, I don't think I will. I really don't think I will. I'm looking forward to it. I've never even seen it, but I've heard about it.
You will smoke me. You know why?
Why's that?
Were you in a band?
Don, I, as a matter of fact, since you asked, I was a professional musician. Now listen. What do you? I don't understand. I was. I got paid. I got paid. I got paid.
Horrendous.
A-hole.
You have hair in your special place.
Not when I was in the band. We were all shaved. Every single one of us.
I can't pee in public bathrooms.
None of us could do that either. Except maybe Randall.
Whatnot.
Whatnot. Whatnot. That was the name of the band, too. Whatnot. Thank you. That sounded like one of my rehearsals.
Hey.
I'm mocking you, dork. Where's that one?
I'm mocking you, dork.
That sounds familiar, too.
Okay, well, this would be a good time for you.
This is the Don and Mike. This is Kiss, each sold separately, and you can put them in any crazy pose you want. Kiss, each 12.5-inch figure sold separately by Mego.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons.
This is Paul Stanley and Kiss.
And we never.
No, we never.
We never.
We never, ever,
ever. I'm Geronimo and Michael Mann.
I'm hungry and I'm going to 7-Eleven. See you later.
Welcome back to the show.
They try to help you. So go to hell.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's Strutter, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Bow, 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 bow.
Strutter by Kiss.
Bow, 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 bow.
And you can put it in any crazy pose you want.
Red, green, 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 green.
Mike, you really remember it. I was impressed. But you were doing that to like kind of...
Yeah, I remembered it.
Red, green, green, two, three, four, yeah.
Hey, is this old Virginia Tech thing going to screw up Larry King's 50th anniversary J.O. show tonight?
Right. I wouldn't think so, but I don't know. I haven't heard. Weren't they supposed to do a whole week on it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it supposed to start on Monday?
Yeah, and the special is tonight.
Oh.
Tonight.
Shooting is bad, right?
Yeah.
Guns. guns. We're talking now about guns.
Dangerous, right?
Where does the bullet come from?
Whoa! Yeah. More of that tonight. I just checked. Larry on the corner.
If you bleed, you might die.
Here we go. Larry King tonight, 9 o'clock.
Tonight.
Tonight on CNN, and it says, Larry King, 50 years of pop culture.
Because he's so curious. Will he be wearing a black T-shirt?
I do not know, Mike. I do know this, that sometime in today's show, I'd like to devote a segment to our tribute to Larry King, some of our best Larry King tapes ever. And I'm talking, of course, about Cooperstown, New York.
Cooperstown, New York. So many wonderful Larry moments, wonderful Larry tapes that we've played on this show.
And maybe the biggest one of all, the one where, who's your agents?
He's not vigorous. This is, for those of you who have not heard this, this is Larry King completely oblivious to the fact that he was off the air.
We don't have time now. We're just setting it up now.
Right, I know. I was just saying that's, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Kind of my way of alerting everybody in the back room to find every tape.
And do you think perhaps the little quickie that we have, it's good to see the Duker again.
Oh, him farting?
Yeah.
I love that one.
That's like a 20-minute segment. So
50 years of Larry farting.
Find all of those tapes, please, everybody. People in India are burning effigies of Richard Gere.
No.
Richard Gere is the most hated man in India.
I thought he was pretty plugged into Eastern philosophy.
Yeah, he was at some rally in New Delhi, and he was up on stage and kissed a chick on the cheek, and it like breaks every rule.
No public display.
Society.
Look at that man. He kissed her on the cheek. We should throw him into the river.
So here is the tape. This is not a gag. This is Richard Gere. really, Mike, it is.
I don't know what you're... I never know what buttons you're going to push.
It's Richard Gere in India.
You say condom. In ke saath kahiye condom. Sex. Condom. Condom. Sex. Condom nahi. Condom nahi. Sex nahi. Sex nahi. Condom nahi. Condom nahi. Sex nahi. Thank you very much.
Wow. Is this a preventative type of thing he's doing over there?
Yeah, he's up there. He's handing out condoms. It's an anti-AIDS thing that he's doing.
Right. Well, there are other ways to go about that, Richard. I mean, please.
The save could live forever now, though.
You say condom. In case I say a condom. Sex.
Oh, no.
Condom. Condom.
May he.
Not a very good interpreter.
Regis, maybe you missed this the other day, says he's going to return to TV this month.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, the day he's returning is also the week that Sweeps begins.
Ah.
The ratings sweep.
That's right. It's going to be wonderful to have him back. I just hope it's not too early.
So here he is now.
Well, you know, the doctors tell me that after 6 weeks, I can't come back. And so the day after 6 weeks is Thursday, April 26th. It'd be 6 weeks and a day since I had this thing done to me. And I guess that's the time I'm coming back.
Sounds motivated.
I'd like to lie in the bed, but I guess that's what I'll do if they make me. And, we have the tape of... yesterday I mentioned on the Regis show that Jeff Probst was saying to Kelly Ripa, you know, how come you're talking about what's going on in the world? Here's that exchange.
So let me ask you this. I tune in to watch for... an hour of fun. So is that, because I'm just filling in for Regis, is that sort of the approach you take? Is that, there are these stories on the news are all over.
Uh-huh.
We're not, this isn't a news show.
Uh-huh.
So is that, you acknowledge it, but then it's okay to move on and do your show?
I don't know. We'll find out, Jeff. I mean...
Well, I don't know.
What do I look like, doctor of television?
It's kind of an awkward situation he put her in.
I went back after you mentioned that yesterday. I went back and I watched the TiVo that the Regis and Kelly Lee and Probst. You know when you go too far and you're getting the TiVo's flying along. He had that stupid kind of grin on his face even when they were talking about the most heinous things going on.
Yeah.
He just had that curious dimply grin, and well, he claimed he was on the red eye. That's why he did it. But it was just very awkward, and I think she was feeling it and kind of lashed out at him a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
I don't know why they insist on putting him as the guest host. I mean, Jeff Probst was good enough when we had him on our show and seemed to have a pretty good sense of humor about
stuff. Yeah, very good sense of humor, but he was very, very bad in that situation yesterday.
He's not.
She doesn't seem to dig him. You can tell the people she likes and the people she doesn't like.
Well, the people she likes are the people she can control, like her big pussy husband. What she doesn't like is when she gets a truly talented guy like Martin Short.
Yeah, I don't think she hates Martin Short. I thought the guys that she really likes, though, are her husband, Sam Champion. You know, that guy, because he's a Ken doll.
A big pussy, right.
Nothing to say.
Big, good-looking pussy.
Right.
Meanwhile, you get a guy like Marty Short, who comes on that show, and right away comes out and does his, you know, that pose he does?
You know, maybe it's not that she doesn't like Martin Short, because she probably is a little awkward with that, but he is so good that he just steamrolls right ahead. And he's doing his shtick no matter what. I like him. I like watching him on
the
show.
She desperately tries to keep up with him.
I like him so much that I would, if Regis didn't do the show anymore, I would love to see Martin Short do that show.
Well, don't you remember Marty Short? I call him that. Like he's my friend.
Marty.
Martin Short. Excuse me. Martin Short.
Marty Short.
He had a daytime show for a while, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. And it didn't do that well. But he's great in that format. And I like him working with her.
That's where he did the Glick character first.
Jiminy Glick.
Hey, boy.
That's right, boy.
Hey, boy.
Where are your breasts, girl?
Hey, boy.
Oh, here from American Idol, from TMZ.com. Here is the typical week in the life of an American Idol contestant.
Huh.
And, for instance, this is what they will go through this week.
All right.
After the results show tonight, Wednesday night, contestants spend the night at a goodbye dinner for whoever just got the axe.
Okay.
They have to go. Next day, tomorrow, Thursday, they will pick out songs they want to do next week on the show. And they start designing the look with the costume designers. On Friday, they shop for clothes and accessories with the costume designers.
Well, San John has got to dig that.
On Saturday, they have one-on-one rehearsals with the celebrity mentor. On Sunday, they film those lame Ford commercials.
Wow, it's quite a schedule.
On Monday, they have a 9-hour rehearsal.
Wow.
And on Tuesday, Tuesday morning, they iron out last-minute wrinkles and do the mic check. Then, at 3 p.m., they do a dress rehearsal. And finally, at 5 p.m., they go on the air live.
I am frankly surprised you don't see more of them really lose it and break down.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised. That's quite a schedule.
I mean, Jesus Christ, who among us works that hard?
Right.
Right.
Sorry.
Thank you, Robbie.
Joe.
Mike.
Yes, I'm here.
I got a lot of things I would hold on to, just waiting for a chance to bring it to your attention.
Very good. I'm here.
Who do you think had the biggest celebrity divorce settlement ever? Besides you.
Oh, it hurts so much just to think of it.
Besides
and this
you?
Is of, this is of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time.
I'll give you...
You have to go modern, because obviously the numbers go up the more, you know, the more recent it is.
I'm going to give you a super hint.
Okay.
You know, I bet I can get you to guess all 10 of the top 10 celebrity divorces just based on my clues.
I am confident you can do that.
Okay. Number 10. Oh, yeah.
Mick Jagger.
Number 9. I'm sorry, there was a bright light that went on.
I saw it too. It distracted me as well. Someone was calling on the hotline.
Oh, what a feeling.
Lionel Richie.
You got it just on Oh, What a Feeling.
Yes.
Fantastic. $20 million.
Wow. Are you going up the list?
Yeah. Number 10.
The biggest.
Number 9. Now, number 8. Dan, I won't be ignored.
Glenn Close?
No.
Michael Douglas.
Right.
Okay.
$45 million.
Sex addiction.
Figured he'd be on the list.
It's one of the things that came out in that divorce, sex addiction.
Number seven.
As it did in mine.
Number 7, but most expensive divorce of all time. I'm king of the world.
James Cameron?
Correct. Ooh. Correct. Good one, Mike.
We're doing well. We're ready to go on Password.
Number 6. Hey, Jude.
Paul McCartney.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, better be one.
Number 5, celebrity divorce. If you build it, he will come. They will
Kevin
come.
Costner.
Yes.
We We interpret pop culture the same way.
Yes, sir.
But number four is going to be a hard one. Hey, Robbie, I could go in a lot of different directions with that. You got a one-word clue for that? He's so known for so many things.
I think this.
Just say it.
Mr. President.
Harrison Ford.
Good one.
Thank you.
Very good, Rob. Very good. Very good. You know, and what's nice about these clues, I don't think they're the kind of clues that would be gathered in by just anybody.
Normally, no.
You have to know the person.
I'll give you some of these numbers. Mick Jagger, $15 million.
Okay.
Lionel Richie, $20 million. Michael Douglas, $45
million. Whoa!
James Cameron, $50 million. Paul McCartney, more than $60
million. Mm-hmm.
Kevin Costner, $80
million. I had no idea Costner's was that much.
Harrison Ford, $85
million. Ooh. Wow.
So we're going way to the top three.
That's about the time he was taking his like private plane and flying to strip joints.
Right. Top three. Here we go.
Hey, but it's not always the guys that do things.
That's
you
true.
Know. Thank you for saying. Come on.
You know.
Top three. Number three. Here you go, Mike.
I'm ready for your hint.
E.T. phone home.
Steven Spielberg.
Yes! Yeah.
Steven Spielberg.
You and I would be so good on a goddamn game show together. And I'll tell you, we'd win the car every time.
And I'll give you the name of the person. The wife was Amy Irving.
Yuck. Yeah.
Amy Irving, who he...
She is as gross as the inside of my socks.
And he divorced her and married Kate Capshaw.
You know what that's like? That's like buying a Subaru and getting a Mazda. You know what I mean?
You mean trading a Subaru in for a Mazda?
Yeah.
Six and one, half dozen of the other.
Maybe a step back.
Apples and oranges, babe.
Number two. Oh, incidentally, Steven Spielberg paid her $100 million.
Wow.
Number two. Yeah. Oh, God, I want to do it without singing. Oh, there's a clue. Hello.
Neil Diamond.
Yeah!
Wow, good job.
Yeah! Neil Diamond paid some bitch named Marcia Murphy $150 million.
Am I 9 for 10?
Yes, you are.
Okay, the pressure's on.
Here we go, number one.
All right.
Here we go.
Wow, that's a lot of money Neil Diamond paid. I'm trying not to focus on that.
Forbes estimates that our number one celebrity divorce will pay between $180 and $200 million.
You don't even have to give me a hint. Marty Bass. Marty Bass. That was Rob's. Rob, I'm giving you credit. I'm giving you credit for that one. Oh, Jesus.
Marty Bass.
Here's your clue.
Okay, I'm ready. How much money again?
Between $180 and $200 million.
Whoa.
It must be the shoes.
Ooh.
Come on now.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah!
Yes! Yes! 10 for 10!
Yes!
Batting 1,000!
And
batting 1,000, baby!
I did that without black speak.
Right.
Because you remember we used to do the bits all the time?
Hello, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Juanita.
Yeah.
What's happening, baby?
Wow.
Yeah.
$180 to $200 million.
That's correct.
Whoa!
You show me a piece of tail worth that.
Huh?
Really?
And, you know, we got to go on that game where they have...
I'm assuming there that that's what it is, because that's what I've always read about Michael Jordan, is that he had, like, a piece of ass in all of these cities.
Wasn't there supposed to be a video floating around years ago?
I remember hearing that.
That never really saw the light of day.
We never heard any more about it.
No,
right.
We got it, bro.
I'm 10 for 10.
I know you love that.
I know that subject.
You won't get this one, though.
All right.
One more list. I got time. The five most unsexiest men of 2007.
Well, the aforementioned Marty Bass.
Here we go. Number five. See if I can do this for you. Same deal, Mike. Same deal.
Same thing? All right, let me focus.
Same deal. Number five. Not the one who works with Robin. Not the one who works with Robin.
Howard?
Not the one who works with Robin.
You're doing a Howard Stern impression.
Yeah.
Yes. Not the one who works with Robin.
Not the one who works with Robin.
Mike, we're going to lose the refrigerator.
Oh, man, I see. I went on to another list.
Howard K. Stern.
Howard K. Stern.
Howard K. Stern.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
Number four.
All right.
Number four.
This is too easy.
These are the unsexiest men.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
You mean I'm on that list, too?
This is from a Men's Health.
Jesus, Bernard, it's a bad week.
I don't know.
Number three.
I don't know if I'm on it or not.
Number three. Let's give them something to talk about.
Sangina.
Uh-huh.
Yuck.
Number two.
Good, I'm glad he's on that list.
Number two. You're fired.
By Donald Trump.
Number one, I don't know how I'm going to give this one to you. You're not going to get this.
Mm.
Think, Mike, because here's the bonus clue that I'll give you.
All right.
It's not the guy that I'm talking about. Here's your clue. For the unsexiest man of 2007.
This is not the person you're talking about. I'm not sure where you're going with this, but I'll try to figure it out.
Van Nuys.
It is Sacha Cohen, Sacha Baron Cohen. Mm. It's not very, very nice.
No, it's not him.
It's not him.
It's not him. But that's your clue. Van Nuys.
Very nice.
Van Nuys. Come on now, Mike. We're playing for that side-by-side refrigerator freezer. Come on. You don't even...
David Letterman.
You don't even... No, I'm sorry.
Ouch.
Oh, where's that Price is Right? Bow, 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 bow.
13 out of 15.
Wow.
You got that? What a shame.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't make it to the bonus round.
Mike, it's Ken Davitan.
Who?
The fat guy from Borat.
Okay, I wouldn't have gotten that in a million years.
Yeah, but
I don't think you could have come up with a clue that would have gotten
it. But
if
you had said the fat guy from Borat, we would have won the washer dryer.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I really was disappointed.
You batted 867.
Oh, gosh, I had that
thousand.
Still,
you did good, though, Mike.
I did great on the divorce category.
I think you got tired towards the end.
I did. I lost my focus.
You started out great.
I did lose my focus at the end.
Do you want to know other people who made the list?
The ugliest, the most unsexy list?
You'll get these with the clues, too.
All right.
Let me see.
I don't know if I'm on it or not.
I'm trying to, you know, they're so, Jesus Christ. Well, never mind. I can't come up with.
Well, how about you give me the answers and I'll give you the clue.
He chopped his wife's head off.
O.J. Simpson.
He's married to J-Lo.
That would be Mark Anthony.
He was married to Britney Spears.
K-Fed.
The NFL just kicked him out.
Pac-Man.
Most honorable leader.
That would be Kim Jong-il.
He's involved with Beyonce.
That would be Jay-Z.
White. French lick.
That would be Larry Bird.
It's
Larry Bird. Larry Bird from A Blast from the Past.
Permanent member. He still makes the unsexiest
list. The hit from French Lick.
He still makes the
unsexiest list. A lifetime membership. poor guy. He's been out of basketball long enough. They ought to keep him off the list.
We were just talking about him moments ago, and his pants hit the floor.
Gene Simmons, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Let me see.
Gene Simmons from Kiss.
For goodness sakes. I don't even know what clue to give you for the Geico cavemen.
They're like all
it just
in a group as unsexy.
The Geico cavemen.
That's BS. See, that's where they went.
Yeah.
They take a great list
not
like
really.
That. I didn't mind that list right until that moment.
No, you're going to like it, though, when you find out number 50.
Who's number
50? Of the most unsexiest men of 2007.
All right, lay it on.
Mike, it's an audio clue.
All right.
Baggett.
That would be, these are men we're talking about.
That's right.
John Edwards. Ann Coulter.
Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
Oh, funny. Coulter. Ah, they went that way with
it.
They
kind of ended it
there
with
you
show.
Go. There you go. All right, well, they threw the caveman and Ann Coulter in there. Ann Coulter, big Adam's apple. Giant Adam's apple. Ask yourself.
Flava Flav, Carl Rove.
Carl Rove?
Perez Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dylan. Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Whoever that ugly... Who is the ugly guy from Nickelback? I know that's a rhetorical question, but...
Yes.
Who's the singing guy from Nickelback?
Don't remember. The guy with the weird hair?
Because it says Nickelback, and it's got like eight names. Oh, Chad Kroeger. That's the guy, right?
Yeah, heir to the fabulous department store, the fabulous grocery store fortune.
Well, listen, join us tomorrow, everybody.
Thank you.
you. When once again we play the Mike O'Mara Trivia Challenge.
People should realize that as you're doing that, with each incorrect answer, I received an electric shock.
And, of course, Mike, the charity you're playing for today is...
As usual, it's Mega Millions, the Virginia State Lottery, Don. All those proceeds from my winnings will go into buying more tickets to help the state. That's what I'm doing.
For education.
Very good. For education and whatnot.
And you were you 10 for 10 on the celebrity divorces?
Celebrity divorces. Well, you know how I read those tabloids.
You know.
You know, really, you know. Hey, you know, there's a little lesson for everybody out in radio land. When you really feel that your life is not going well, read about others in the same situation that are in worse straits, and it'll make you feel better.
Oh, when we come back, three words I know that you've been dying to hear us talk about. Nude women's wrestling.
Hello.
Be right back.
All right. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Get on the bus here. Move it. Get up there. Kyle, 1, 2, 5, 7. Move it or lose it. Get on the bus.
Hi, Miss Vaughn. Nice to see you. That Veronica Vaughn is one piece of ace. I know from experience, dude. You know what I mean?
No, you don't.
Well, not me personally, but a guy I know. Him and her got it on. Woo-wee!
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. But you can imagine what it'd be like if they did, right? Huh? Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful. Yelling on the
bus! All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Uh-huh. Is everybody happy?
Be warned. This is extremely graphic. So if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, no.
Caution. Retards in area. The Don and Mike Show.
He's lovely retarded.
Here we are.
Here we go. Hi, everybody. Let me see. I mentioned naked women wrestling.
Yes, you did.
And you might remember from the old WWF, Jimmy Hart, Mouth and South.
Oh, the blonde guy.
Is that involved in the...
Or was he a black-haired guy? I forgot.
He's a slicky boy. He's got dark hair.
Dark hair, and he was always with some blonde guy. I forgot who that was.
Anyway, here's Jimmy Hart and Jenna, and they are from Naked Women's Wrestling League. Right. www.nwwl.com. Hi, guys.
Hey there.
Jimmy, are you there?
Yes, sir. My new tag team, Baby Don and Mike. This is awesome, man. How you guys doing?
Jimmy, who's that blonde guy you used to fight with all the time?
Oh, my gosh. You name it. We've been there for so many years. You know, of course, started in Memphis, Tennessee many, many years ago, probably before you guys were born.
Yeah.
Part of a group called the Gentries. We had a million-seller record called Keep On Dancing, and then I got in the crazy world of professional wrestling and started managing Jerry the King Lawler.
Wow.
The next thing, I wound up in the WWE for almost 10 years.
What not?
How did you get into naked women's wrestling? This is something that we are really interested in.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you what happened. I've done so many great things in my lifetime. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than to be good. And all of a sudden, I had a phone call from Toronto, Canada, and these people had called me and said, you know, we're putting something together with Karma Lecter in the WWL. And he said, we're going to go in and we're going to train the ladies and really teach them how to wrestle. And I said, well, who's training them? And they said, we've got a gentleman that trained Edge and Christian and Trish Stratus. So that was interesting because they're the real deal. And all of a sudden, we got out there, and it's the most beautiful girls I've ever seen, and the matches are fabulous.
That's a jackass. How does one see these wrestling matches?
Well, go ahead, Janae. I'll let you tell about that, sweetheart.
Yes, Janae.
Hi, Janae. Janae.
Hey there. Hey, we currently are running on in-demand pay-per-view now through June, and if it's not with your local cable schedule, you can just check it. We're going to be coming to every cable channel that is out there.
You're totally naked when you wrestle?
Well, yes. I'm actually totally naked now. I'm in the bathtub.
Oh, let's give that a round of applause.
Hey, I want to tell you guys, though, you know, we're not some ridiculous cheesecake bouncing around like Girls Gone Wild or anything like that. We are all bitch brawl wrestling women, you know, with the NWWL. We really kick some ass.
And are you all in really, really good shape?
Would you ever give a girl a purple nipple?
Purple nipples do happen once in a while because we are nude on the mat, you know. We get raspberries.
We're at the website now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So do you pull hair?
Hey.
Yeah, there's a lot of hair pulling, but, you know, I mean, I think, what was it, Josie Ann lost about half her hair in the Naked Revolution.
Oh. Here's a question for you.
You have hair in your special place.
I want to invite you guys to come out to the Playboy Mansion and party with me.
Oh, yeah, and...
Do you know how long we've been trying to get to the Playboy
and
Mansion?
I want to invite you to fly with me on my Gulfstream, and let's go over and get drunk with the Pope.
Hey, no! I'm serious. You can come out and party with me in the grotto. It's Saturday, August 18th, and if you want to go, you can find out about it at hotaugustnights.biz.
Oh, you know what? You just suckered us into a plug.
No, listen. Your viewers can come, too, while tickets are available. Hotaugustnights.biz.
Hi, viewers. How you doing?
What not? So what's happening on August 18th at the Grotto?
Well, I'm a celebrity guest, and we're supporting the Breast Cancer Foundation in a huge party. And we're going to be having lots of celebrity guests, models from all over the world, and we're going to be partying in the Grotto.
Partying in the Grotto.
As a woman,
yes.
When you've been wrestling nude, when you've been nude wrestling, and you mentioned it's not like Girls Gone Wild, it's real fighting. Have you ever been bitch slapped? Have you been cat scratched? Has anyone gone after your most delicate of areas?
You know, the bitches try, right? I mean, you know, I'm undefeated almost 8 years now, and you know, if anyone tried to cat scratch or bitch slap me, they'd be in for a world of hurt. That's
now,
all I gotta say.
Besides you, Janae, who are some of the other lovely ladies in the Naked Women's Wrestling League?
We actually have many ladies in our league from all over the world. The women are at the top of their game. We have women, Canadian women wrestlers. We have women from Cairo, Egypt. We have from women from Japan, France, all over the place.
Are they all pieces of ass like you?
I don't consider us pieces. I mean, we're hot women, but, you know.
I mean, it was a compliment.
We kick ass. We kick ass. But, yeah, the women, hey, you can't go out and push your body to the limits like that.
I see in one picture, have you ever wrestled Ninja Chops?
Ninja Chops. I was going to wrestle Ninja Chops in Naked Revolution, but what wound up happening is I fractured my ribs doing flying drop kicks.
Ouch.
So we're saving that for the next pay-per-view.
This is a question for Jimmy. Jimmy, have you ever managed a naked wrestler from long ago named Allen Cunningham?
No. Let me tell you what, I've managed a lot of crazy guys before, but you know, I had the Hart Foundation, the Nasty Boys, and all those guys. But I did manage a girls' tag team, but what they called the Glamour Girls.
What
and we
not?
Fought the Jumping Bomb Angels from Japan.
The Glamour Girls.
The Glamour Girls. But, you know, it's pretty cool because one of the girls she forgot to mention was April Hunter, who is the WWL champion right now. And she's the real deal. I mean, she's got the look, she's got the pizzazz, she's got the talk, and she's fabulous. She really is.
Jimmy, here's a question for you, friend. Where's the eroticism? If I'm paying my pay-per-view money, let's face it, I can if I want to watch women fighting, I'll go to a family party. But if I want to see naked women fighting, mm-hmm. I'm gonna watch your show, watch your pay per view. Where's the eroticism?
The eroticism is simply in women being naked. I mean, we're not, like I said, you know, we're not selling porn. You know, that's not our deal. We sell more sensuality than sex. You know, and there is a huge following for people who want to see, you know, hot, tough women kicking some ass, and doing it naked is just a plus, you know?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I'm on board with this one.
What if I want to just watch you get into a nice warm bath afterwards?
Well, I don't know.
Janae, could you splash for us again, please?
Yeah.
Hey, that's the main event.
This is the cool bath interview here.
Oh, she really is in the tub.
Really in the tub.
Boy.
Great.
Jimmy, are you a married guy?
You know what? I've been married so many times I can't even count them all. But that's why I'm able to run out now and do all this crazy stuff, you know? Matter of fact, I was in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago, believe this or not, for our USO, at the USO with Laura Bush, Miss USA, Pat Boone, of all people, Tracy Lawrence. So I wish that I came by and saw you guys.
Now, Pat Boone certainly wouldn't sign on to the naked wrestling, would he?
Let me tell you something. something. He was fat. I tell you, he was hilarious. I don't think he would watch that, but I mean, what a great guy he was. He was awesome.
I'd like to see him wrestle naked. That's just my own preference.
I wasn't even aware he was still alive. I didn't know.
he's great, guys. I'll tell you, he really is fabulous.
Janae, I tried to play this before, but this is a serious question for you now.
Okay.
Please listen.
Do you have hair in your special place?
I got to play it for you one more time. It's a legit question.
Do you have hair in your special place?
Did you hear that, Janae?
Well, no, I didn't hear it.
Okay, here it is one more time.
Do you have hair in your special place?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, I thought
gross.
Yeah,
gross. Come on.
I know it's a personal choice.
I know it is a personal
choice. You like
crap. Exactly.
How can you find what you're looking for? My God.
Are there any of the wrestlers that would fit Don's criteria for a match?
Any hairy women?
No, we don't have any hairy women, thank God.
You're all smoothies?
I would not allow that. Hair just gets in the way. I mean, come on, we get to have to brush off the mask and all that crap. No.
Janae, this is just a suggestion, though. You might want to throw in perhaps, obviously it's not East Germany anymore, but perhaps some Eastern European woman that might fit the old stereotype, you know, that would come in with a lot of hair, you know, all over the place, hairy legs, hairy armpits, the whole thing. Might just mix it up a little bit.
Well, you know, we're going to be having that because NWWL is going to be doing something real special. We're going to be broadcasting our women wrestlers from all over the world live soon from NWWL.com. And you'll be able to see the hairy ones, the fat ones, the small ones, all the ones you want.
Oh, there are fat ones.
Well, we're going to have some. We're going to be inviting some women to come down and do our live.
Now,
TV.
Daddy's excited.
We're going to teach them how to wrestle.
Now.
I don't know. Do you guys like those kind of women? What?
Fat and hairy.
Yeah. Yeah?
Wow.
Well, we'll see what we can do for you.
Big and beautiful. And incidentally, unshaved.
Oh, that's so nasty, honey.
That's right.
So natural, honey.
And they can come out to the grotto, too.
I'm serious about that. I want to see you and your viewers out there while tickets are still available. Party
what
with me.
Not? We'll bring all of our viewers.
All right. The NWW. Okay. The Breast Cancer Foundation.
Okay. Right. I'm sick of them.
Oh, my.
I mean, he was nice enough.
Call him back and tell him thank you.
Yeah, call him back, not her back.
Well, you didn't like her. Too much of a promotional machine, huh?
Yeah, well,
she bothered you. She got you angry.
She's a nice hoe. She's selling her.
Hey, you got to watch that word, you know. You got to be very careful.
Straight hair, though.
He said nice.
Nice.
She's
a very nice hoe.
The Naked Women's Wrestling League.
Anyway.
She sucked us right in with the grotto, didn't she?
Did. Yeah, like we believe that.
Yeah.
And like,
how many years we've been trying to get there? Mr. and Mr. Heavyweight Celebrity. Yeah, we'll be right out there. Who's our connection?
Dick Van Patten.
Mr. Stud.
Well, somebody please call back Jimmy Hart and tell him thank you.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
James Hart.
Hello.
Don?
The Mouth of the South. Right now, these.
That's exactly what he was.
Jimmy Hart. Mouth. I just thought of that now. And I think the guy that he used to be near with was it Gorgeous George?
Something like that, but it was another guy.
It was like an albino guy.
He didn't, he was doing the whole, hey, how you doing? Thanks, so he didn't give me a straight answer.
Rick Flair?
Might have been Rick Flair.
Nature Boy Rick Flair.
Right. Yeah, the Nature Boy.
The gay name.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Rick
Flair. Gay.
I'm the Nature Boy.
Nature boy, and French potatoes.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don, were you thinking of Bobby Heenan?
Bobby Heenan is the answer.
That's who Mike was thinking.
That is
right.
Exactly.
I'm not sure. I know he had a stroke a few years ago. I'm not sure if he's still alive.
Oh, geez. I'm always asking those questions about the guys that passed away. It's always very embarrassing. When I don't remember, I ask about the guys that pass away. You know? That's very frustrating.
Yeah, give me a moment, Mike. We're looking for something now. Something
appropriate?
Who is the guy you just mentioned?
Bobby Heenan.
Amazing grace.
Perhaps no longer with us.
How sweet.
Yes, you know me well. Bobby.
The sound that saved. Like me.
He will be missed.
Was that one of the good ones or one of the bad ones from American Idol?
He had a good brother.
One of the good ones.
Really? I was
Right.
Was low.
Yeah, he's one of the good ones.
But now I'm found.
This is for who, Mike?
This is for Bobby Heenan. Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Was blind.
So long, friend.
But now.
Fairly well.
I see.
Ooh. Don't you remember when that guy was on Idol and Simon says, I just can't seem to find words to criticize you? that was Melinda Doolittle.
Uh-huh.
Utterly horrendous.
I do.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hey, what's going on there? Hey, hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Mike, you dropped the ball.
What do you mean I dropped the ball?
Jimmy Hart used to manage Tugboat.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Did he really?
I am I blew it.
And look at you. So easy for you to open up your jaws of life and scream at this guy when he's talking about your favorite wrestler of all.
You can hear Tugboat backstage at the Capitol Center. And he was doing the Tugboat. I am so sorry. Jimmy Hart managed Tugboat.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus. Small world. God, I got to do my research.
Way back in the day when Bart was a little boy.
Greatest wrestler ever.
Mike was a good Uncle Mike and would go with me to the Cap Center at the time to watch wrestling with Bart, who had to be, what, like 4 or 5 at the time.
The late Glenn Brenner was at that wrestling match.
Wow. Yeah,
great Channel 9 sportscaster, yeah. Fantastic human being.
And there was this guy, Tugboat.
Tugboat was there.
Who was a...
big fat guy that wore a little hat. He looked like Brutus.
Yeah,
Brutus from Popeye.
Yeah, Wimpy also from Popeye.
Yeah, had the same kind of body type. And really, before the wrestling match even started, backstage you could hear... That was Tugboat, the greatest. Tugboat. Oh, the greatest wrestler ever. They'll never make another one like Tugboat.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
He also managed for a while, and Heenan's still alive.
Heenan is still alive. Good.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Just can't speak out of one side of his mouth though.
That's unfortunate.
Amazing grace.
Well, Bobby the Brain.
Yeah, not so much.
Thanks, Rob. Thank you for that tip.
He's not like you, Rob. You talk out of both sides of your mouth.
Now they call him Bobby the left side of his brain.
We're going to hell.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Pack your bags.
Oh, Lord.
Watch out. I'm going to pin you in the mat.
MF. Motor function.
That's right. It's all about that.
Got him on 2 wheels.
Oh, it's Larry King's 50th anniversary of broadcasting.
That's a nice segue right there.
And we'll have our tribute to Larry in a moment.
That should be fun.
Amazing grace.
Stop that singing. I'm not dead.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't get the whole Anna Nicole Smith thing at all. I watched her work in Naked Gun, you know, and she wasn't even naked in Naked Gun. What the hell's going on? Anna's like a one-tit wonder. That's what I thought. Can you say
You can say
there you go.
You can. It's cable.
Oh, good.
But now she's gone.
Now she's gone.
Did you watch?
And guess what? We'll see another one like her. There'll never be another one. Oh, yes, there'll be another kind of chubby white girl with big... there'll be one.
Oh, Larry King.
Larry.
Our strange road with Larry.
Yep.
There was a time 20 years ago when he would actually cut announcements for our show like this.
I've got a unique dilemma. This is Larry King. I love Don and hate Mike. What do I do with my radio?
You got like a million of them for us.
Hi, this is Larry King, and I never listen to Don and Mike because I'm bright, intelligent, lively, and desire information. I go anywhere I can, but not here.
We actually had him as the master of ceremonies. What was it, our 5th anniversary roast?
Yeah, we were roasted.
Oh, hold on. We've got to officially rejoin.
Consummate unprofessional.
Right.
Don and Mike.
Right. So, I think it's pretty well documented that for a long time, when Mike and I were doing the morning show, we would come in, and what we would listen to on the way in individually in our cars was Larry King doing his overnight radio show.
His highly rated overnight radio show.
And we would, behind the scenes, goof on it.
Yeah, we, because that's what we listened to coming in. That's all that was on the radio.
It was like when he was going through the thing with one of his wives, Julie.
Yeah.
Where he would send her like a pound of gummy bears. And remember, he would just, like the 5 to 6 a.m. hour would just be.
Talking about Julie.
It's Larry King live, but.
Sent her a pound of gummy bears yesterday.
Julie, I've never been more in love than this. Julie, she's wonderful. I just I can't stop talking about it. I'm so, so in love. And we were, I don't want to say we were obsessed, but we were slightly fixated on Larry for a long time.
You know what?
To the extent where we'd actually go down to where he ate lunch.
Yeah. Oh. You know, Elsa, go give me one. Would you please, be a love and go give me one of those fake Larry King commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Because we, for the longest time, had a good, playful relationship with him.
Yeah, he was amused at our banter. He didn't seem to be offended by it.
He would participate in the show, not on a regular basis, but a couple of times a year.
Right.
And there would be charity functions, and we'd be on the dais, and he'd be on the dais, and we'd all act buddy-buddy and stuff. And then it went south.
And went south very quickly, because we just wouldn't stop.
Right. And it started off innocent enough with stuff like this. I'm sorry.
Hi, this is Larry King. You've seen me on The Tonight Show. You've seen me interviewed by Bob Costas. And you've read my column in the USA Today. Well, now you can buy my new cookbook, Eat It with the King. 200 pages of my favorite recipes, including crab cakes from Duke Siebert's.
Okay, so there was that, and
that was the restaurant he used to go to.
And there was this.
Hi, this is Larry King, and let me tell you something about myself. I love love. And I'm here to tell you about the Larry King Love at First Sight Dating Service. If you're a single,
when
like
he was
I was,
in love,
now you can find the love and companionship you've been searching for with just a simple phone call.
So we had had this kidding relationship with him. He wasn't nearly as famous as he is now.
Right.
And he would be on the show and blah, blah, blah. And then it went south, and
we're not really sure why, but we certainly understood why it might have gone south.
We had like a good relationship with him for 5 years,
uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, he just started hating us.
Was it Kaya?
No, I don't think it was Kaya. It may have been. Uh-huh. We were very amused by people that would crank call his show.
Oh, that
we got a very big kick out of that. He did not.
Yeah, and
it would be also. We started to play the tapes of his show.
Okay. Yeah, we started. We at the time we had only like one or two tapes. The most famous one was the one about Cooperstown, New York, and we played that. And in the context back in the day, and the 20 years ago, to play a 3.5 minute tape on a morning show,
right.
Of a guy doing a radio show was a little bit too inside for Top 40 radio.
Exactly.
So we did it anyway. He didn't like it, and then Buzz, you're right. It did reach a point when I remember he called Alan Goodman, who he was friends with, our general manager.
Right. Alan Goodman, who had actually arranged for him to take over our show one day.
Right.
And absolutely destroy us.
The day before the heart attack.
The day before his heart attack.
It's been documented. You can document it.
We might have not taken that as seriously as we should have.
No,
we found it. There might have been speculation that we had caused the heart attack.
Oh. I know that the next day we had a grand amount of fun on the show.
Yeah.
We wanted to be
once
known,
we knew he was okay.
We wanted to be known as the guys who gave Larry King the heart attack.
Of course.
And then there was the part about his daughter,
because
we would always talk about his daughter Kaya.
And you discovered a book called Daddy Day, Daughter Day.
Daddy Day, Daughter Day. So it was an audio book. We played this thing on the radio. And one day...
just over the years, we've done a million things like that.
And one day I was at the Montgomery Mall, Tyson's Corner, whatever it was. Frieda and I were out shopping, and a woman, Kaya King, Kaya Zeiger, came up to me and verbally accosted me.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know, you're an awful guy, and your partner's an awful guy, and you do this awful routine about me kissing my dad.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Now that
that's
I'm thinking
the moment.
About, don't you remember it used to be
Hi,
and
Kaya.
And it was before Daddy Day, Daughter Day.
Yeah.
It was Hi, Kaya. You have a kiss for daddy.
And we make the tongue sound.
That's all it was.
That's all we did.
Anyway.
For some reason, he didn't like it.
He hated our guts. So now.
Yeah. And then actually, he came in one time to be on Gordon Liddy's show.
Right.
And Rob did this little ambush interview with him.
Where's that thing,
Rob? Yeah, I forgot about that
one. You got that one, too?
We've got lots of Larry. This was maybe the first audio indication that things had turned, I thought.
And you've also got to remember that while Howard Stern had that guy that called Larry King and all the CNN shows all the time, we would have our guy, the Belcher, or East Coast Bob, call Larry King to mention our names, not so much like Howard did, but because it would really bother Larry King.
Yeah, they'd be direct questions about our show.
Throw them off.
And we'd play those. It was just, we were fascinated by Larry because we just liked his personality.
Another one of your old commercials from way back in the day. Oops, sorry, wrong button.
Hi, this is Larry King, and by now you know that weight loss and fitness are my life.
That's for the hardest
part. Why, I've opened my new fitness studio, Larry's Liposuction. The world's most beautiful people come from near and far to get their fat sucked by the king. With two simple visits, I can produce a whole new you as I suck those unsightly fatty bulges from your hips, tummy, and thighs.
Really, and that was so long ago they called it liposuction.
At one point we may have had really like 25 of those fake commercials.
Yeah, yeah. I loved doing them. I really did. I enjoyed them. I still do.
Let me see, what do you got there?
Those I don't think he ever minded.
Okay. All right, now, okay. Here's when Larry King came into the radio station, WJFK, many years after he decided he hated us. He was going to be on the G. Gordon Liddy show, and we sent Rob into the tape recorder to say hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
I'm Rob. I'm with the Don and Mike show, and I was wondering if you had a message for Don and Mike.
Stay healthy, be good, be kind to your neighbors, try to follow the golden rule, and stop. Stop this string of robberies. I think it's uncalled for that you haven't been caught. I think paying off the police has been terrible. I think it's inexcusable. And also, I would suggest you marry more.
Hey, Larry, will you sign a book for Gordon?
Of course I will. Here, I'm signing a book.
Here's the nasty Gordon publicist.
Okay, but
what will you write?
Can you read? This is from John and Mike.
Huge fan. Huge fan.
Pouncing on him when he walks out.
She doesn't like that. She's
never seen me pound.
Anyway, give my best to Don and Mike and remind him of the time I took over their show.
Well, indeed. What's the name of your book, sir?
The name of the book is Future Talk. Larry King,
Future
Conversations
Talk.
About Tomorrow. Don and Mike wouldn't read it because it requires intelligence.
Intelligence.
Yeah.
Intelligence. That was the start.
He was playful,
yet it really was the beginning of of a string of always negative comments about us. And we enjoyed them.
Where's the part about you can doctor tapes?
Oh. That's a call that he gets to
his
show.
Call. And also, I know we played it the other day, but the Imus calls when Imus is on. Somebody always calls and asks about us.
Those two guys that hate us.
And it's great because Imus is like, oh. Paul and Mike?
I don't know if they're on there or not. And they're both silent because they just don't want to talk about it. And they neither one wants to punch out of it.
A funny moment. And it's not because we're famous. Please do not think that that is our intent here. We realize we're nobodies.
We're nobodies, but we're known by these guys.
It's great to know that we're nobodies and that Larry King can't just blow past our name.
Exactly. Right,
when it comes up on a show. Here he is. Here he is with Imus.
Let's take a call. Cape California. Hello.
Hi, Larry. Hi. Don Imus. How are you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or out of... Not on the air in New York, Don.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right, Don and Mike?
I think that's where they originated from, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Las Vegas, hello.
I love that tape.
Great moment.
Right, yeah.
Here's another good one. I want to talk about them, yeah.
So this is after we have a play the tape that you'll hear in a second of Larry talking about broadcasting for 30 days and nights. We have a tape of him, a 3-minute tape from his radio show that we played on our old morning show over and over again.
We loved it.
Working and then overnight too people long. Started calling his radio show.
Right.
Falls Church, Virginia. Hello.
Hi, Larry. There's a couple guys here in Washington, Don and Mike, who play a tape of you getting asked about journalism by somebody, and you think he's talking about medical school. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you ever listen? Have you ever heard Dynamite?
I never get to hear them. They were on the morning, they're on the afternoon, and I never get to hear them. We took over their show one day. I went, in fact, the day before the heart attack, we went and took over their program one morning and totally destroyed them. You could doctor tapes.
And then we found out from a very good source, who we will not name at CNN, that this tape, the Paint Your Bald Spot tape, is one that really drove him nuts.
Oh, he hated it. He hated it when somebody would insinuate that he was using that hairspray that covered his bald spot.
I just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like...
You know, it's a word that really is overused, but this is really classic.
It is. Yeah.
This is so great. His response...
People love this.
So great.
The interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
Do you paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
How come you had less hair on the tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day. By the way, something. What do you care?
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
You sick.
Just in no way did he attempt to move by it or anything like that, or even directly say, you're an idiot. He just goes, sick.
And now here he is on a TV station in Sacramento being interviewed by Mark S. Allen.
Hey, Larry, there's a syndicated radio show that's huge here in town called the Don and Mike Show. I know they're huge fans of yours. They're coming to town. Could you send us an autographed copy of your book that we can pass on to them?
Wait a minute. You're telling me Don and Mike will read a book about prayer? Give them this message.
Okay.
Tell them both to pray for civility and class.
Ooh.
Yes, give him God a job,
words.
Boy.
Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, right.
You know, he loved ending his interview with that. He thoroughly enjoyed that. That's when it was really getting a little bit more direct. Pray for civility and class.
Yeah. I urge you to marry more.
Marry more.
And don't listen to stories, what they're saying about you. Don't listen.
Stop this string of robberies.
Yeah. Is it any wonder, ladies and gentlemen, that we were so fixated on this man?
No.
Thank God we broke our addiction with Larry to Larry.
Have you?
I do, well. Buzz, I'm proud to tell you that we have been back on the air since January 2nd.
I know.
Today is April 17th. Not that I'm keeping track.
Uh-huh.
We have not done Larry to Larry once in calendar year 2007.
Well, I applaud your discipline, but I miss Larry to Larry.
I just want to say I compliment you on that, brother.
Don't play the home game.
Nice job.
How you doing, brother?
This doesn't count, you know. We're talking about Larry to Larry. It's not really doing it.
Kind of does count, though, a little bit.
Well, I got one question for you.
What's that?
What are you going to have for breakfast? Larry King!
Yeah.
So now... And can I say something also?
Sure.
A lot of this, you might say, why were you fixing it? Well, we were fixing it because we listened to the guy on the way in when we used to do the morning show, but also our personal dealings with Larry. Larry is a guy that, that has a good, healthy show business ego. So much so that it was fun to make fun of him. That's one of the reasons.
It really would be when we would be somewhere in public with him. You'd be sitting up on a dais, like on a rubber chicken, dinner circuit, and he'd be sitting there, and the mic on one side of him, me on the other, and he'd go,
"Well, boys, they're here to see me. Look at this. All this for me. A kid from the Bronx. Well, look what I did. Look at this."
And we'd take calls about Larry at a baseball game or a hockey game where he would stand... He would stand on the concourse waiting for somebody to recognize him. And it was true.
Yeah,
he enjoyed that. It was true. He did that kind of thing.
I don't want to do a break right now because we're on such a good roll. So then once it started to go bad, there was a restaurant he ate at every day in town called Duke Zebert's Restaurant.
His favorite.
And we had one of Buzz's interns, B.O. Bob Seska.
Right. Bob Seska.
Call up Duke Zebert's restaurant and speak to Larry King to ask him what he was having for lunch.
He hated that. Really hated that.
But because of the FCC rules, we have to beep out Larry King's response.
Right.
And it was not a secret. It was in the newspaper. Every day at 12 noon, Larry King had lunch at the same booth, at Duke Siebert's table in Washington, D.C.
On his radio show, he would give a plug to Duke Siebert's restaurant every single night.
All the time. Because he ate there for free every day.
Right.
So one day, we told Bob, call and see what Larry's having for lunch.
You can't use his voice on the air without his permission, so we bleep that part out, but it's still...
You can hear, you know, that he's answering the phone.
You get the gist of it.
Oh.
Here's Bob.
This is great.
Neil Bob Seska.
Hi, can I speak to Larry King, please?
No.
Oh, okay. Could you patch me through to him? It's kind of urgent. Rob Williamson? Well, actually, I'm going to be a guest later on this show.
A little before the cell phone craze.
Here he is. Hear him?
Hello, Larry.
Yeah.
I just called you a few minutes ago. I was just wondering, what are you enjoying today for lunch? I
what he says is, what are you doing?
Why are you doing this?
Don't do this.
Don't do this.
I remember it so clear. Why are you doing this? Don't do this.
Click.
Well, because you say every day on the radio that
you're going to this restaurant.
You're going to be at the same restaurant every day at the same time.
And didn't we eat at that restaurant one time when he was having some sort of rehearsal dinner for his wedding?
We sure did.
Not a rehearsal, or maybe just like getting, they were getting it ready.
Just by odds, someone has been somewhere where they're getting ready for one of his weddings.
I remember that you and I were sitting at a table eating those gigantic, oversized kosher deli pickles.
Yeah, the deli pickles that they
had. And we had no idea. It was like all of a sudden, oh my God, there he is.
We might have casually asked it. What are they doing in there? Oh, they're getting ready for the Larry King thing. And it was hysterical.
Hi.
Oh, it was so much fun.
All right. So now that we've set up our love for Larry King, we do have to hit a break. And when we come back, we will just go right to the mother load.
Good. The mother load of the tapes from his radio show. And these are the greatest because he was on in the middle of the night, and because of that, he would fall asleep.
I think they are the greatest we will hear, in no particular order, the Cooperstown, New York tape.
When he forgets what a caller's saying.
Where Larry farts.
Classic.
Where Larry, we have two very quick, short tapes of Larry falling asleep on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the mother load where Larry thinks he's in commercials and he's been on the air for almost 3 minutes. Talking behind the scenes with some schmuck who's on his show.
Because he's exhausted.
Fantastic.
They're the best.
I can't wait.
So, they are the best. It's our tribute.
Okay. Oh, you know what? Let's make sure everyone comes back after the commercial.
Give him just a little
taste. Just let you hear Larry farting.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You gotta listen.
We can always play that one again.
You gotta listen to this one real careful. Turn your radios up, everybody.
Larry King. Matzo Ball Super Dukes at the top of the aisle. It'll be good to see the Duker again. Next week.
The show's going to be funny.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, let's do it again.
Oh, Jesus.
It's great, isn't it?
That's the best one.
Larry King. Matzo Ball Super Dukes at the top of the aisle. It'll be good to see the Duker again. Next week.
I never tire of that. Ever.
And you got to know. We happen upon these tapes by somebody who works at CNN who, if the name was dropped,
I mean,
it would cause a dinosaurs would start to roam the earth again.
We are men of honor, though. We are men of honor.
Larry King was ratted out by this guy at CNN who would supply us with these tapes.
Right. Oh, absolute quality. And the fact, really, more than any other broadcaster that I'm ever aware of, he would fall sound asleep on his show.
Yeah,
I mean, go
to
out. And you know, I had friends over there that would tell me about it, and it was just great to hear the tapes.
Here he is going to sleep.
You know, they're quite willing to kill off nature, you know, for a cheap buck, and then, you know, and then just point the finger at somebody else for why the jobs disappeared. Hello?
Yep. I'm sorry. Go on, rephrase that.
And now he's celebrating his 50th anniversary in broadcast.
Congratulations, Larry.
Larry King. Matzo Ball Super Dukes at the top of the aisle. It'll be good to see the Duker again. Next week.
Happy anniversary, Larry.
Okay. Get your tapes rolling when we come back.
Oh, man.
And we'll let it roll without stopping to comment.
God bless him.
Larry thinks he's in spots and also the Cooperstown tape. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this
This is Larry King, here to tell you about my new book, Picking Up Chicks with the King, my special 225-page guide to meeting and dating the world's most lovely ladies. You'll find valuable information inside, like how to use the right pickup line, meeting gorgeous women at the right parties, making conversation in awkward situations, and Larry King's special 10-page guide to better lovemaking. How to pick up chicks with the King. Order today and receive a beautiful policewoman poster from the lovely Angie Dickinson.
Angie Dickinson.
Okay, this anniversary for Don and Mike, and after it's taped, give it to Andrea and she'll phone and say she's got it, okay?
Okay.
Hi, it's Larry King in Washington. So proud of the fact that Don and Mike have reached their 8th anniversary. Pleasure and welcome you aboard. Happy new organization. Happy anniversary, guys. And you're both, I was going to say you're both terrific, but...
Sacramento, California. Hello.
Larry King, I want to commend you on your choice of suspenders tonight.
It is black.
I know it. This quality, though. This money that belongs to the Iraqi people, can they get that back from Saddam? And are we going to get Don and Mike on the Armed Forces Radio over in Iraq?
Good question. That's a good question. Nick, Christopher, can they get the money some way to send that money back to the people? He probably took it from them.
The Don and Mike Show.
Funny, that's funny. How's your friend Dan Calder in the faggot word? What are you talking about?
Like a life-altering herpetic sore. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, Larry King, 50th anniversary of broadcasting.
Congratulations, Larry.
Who says we don't care? This is the mother load of the Larry King tapes.
Rob's raising his hand. He doesn't care.
I say you don't care.
We care, Rob. Why else are we playing these exclusive tapes from our Larry King archive?
Wonderful.
Of Larry falling asleep and losing his place in the show.
And why doesn't the press search harder when it involves pro-lifers? They certainly do when it's pro-choicers.
It's King with that. This Green Bay? Oh, next is Green Bay. I lost it there for a minute.
Okay, now here he is. After he's been on the air during the Olympics or the Turner Games or whatever.
He's been on the air for many, many nights.
30 days and 30 nights. Your boy's tired.
And I got one more question. I'm a student of print journalism, and I just wanted to know, what advice do you have for... young people coming up into the field. Like, a lot of professors are telling us how hard it is to get into the field at first. I'd just like to know, since you're in the field, do you have any advice on that? For instance, experience, is that important?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Is that probably the most important element?
Well, it's way up there.
It's way up there. Anything else? Anything you can do?
Pressure under fire.
Mm-hmm.
Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
What?
Okay.
Surgery.
Applied himself well.
Mm-hmm.
These are things I'd have confidence in a young MD.
Okay.
I asked you about broadcast.
I'm talking about journalism field.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
The journalism. Like, I'm a student of journalism at a college, and I was just wondering the most important aspect of getting into journalism, not the medical field. I think you're exhausted from 30 nights.
I am exhausted from 30 nights. No person, even those of us who are superhuman, those of us with Herculean appetites for the diverse and the bizarre, even those of us who... have shown an aptitude to fight the good fight and stay the good long battle. Even those of us can get tired. And your boy is tired after 30 consecutive nights. I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do.
Look it up.
Right? I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Okay.
That's what we do. We're pros. We're never rude. We don't cop out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert.
What?
Or that we're parched. We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month, and where the hell does it go anyway?
What?
If you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses.
Okay.
So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now. Kind of worried about the club.
The club?
Don't worry about the club. Worry about maybe Jackie might worry. Nah, don't worry. Okay, just cool it. Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up to hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along. Speaking of pass it along, we're going to pass along now to the newsroom, the mutual newsroom, high atop the overlooking downtown, beautiful downtown studios of Washington, Virginia, Washington, D.C. The mutual newsroom will get us up to date on the news headlines, and we'll come back with a little more Open Phone America. We'll have our salute to my man, Duke Zebert, by taking him to one of his favorite places, one of mine, too, the town of Cooperstown, New York. This is the Larry King Show in Washington, and we'll be right back.
Let me offer this.
Whoa.
I've never noticed it before, but you put it next to those other tapes, I think he's asleep during that first question.
Of course he is.
Talking in his sleep.
No, but literally asleep when he says,
Which
sure.
is why after we played that tape about 5,000 times on our show, this call happened.
Falls Church, Virginia. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Same energy.
There's a couple guys here in Washington, Don and Mike, who play a tape of you getting asked about journalism by somebody, and you think he's talking about medical school. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you ever listen? Have you ever heard Don and Mike?
I never get to hear them. They were on the morning. They're on the afternoon. I never get to hear them. We took over their show one day. I went, in fact, the day before the heart attack, we went and took over their program one morning and totally destroyed them. But you could doctor tapes.
Yeah. And he's lying, of course, when he says, no. Do you remember that? No.
And now the mother load, as we say, happy anniversary, Larry King.
Does not know that he's on the air.
Very important to note, when they rejoin, the guy, the announcer guy, plays the music and says, now here's Larry. Roll it.
And now, live from Washington, D.C., here's Larry.
My guest is Robert Daly. His newest book is A Faint Cold Fear. It is published by Little Brown. We'll be going to your calls at the bottom of the hour at 703-685-2177. Are you already working on the next one?
Well, I know pretty well what I want to do, and there's a long process to go through. I have to write an outline, and although I have a contract...
See, now Larry's done the intro.
He thinks he's in commercial now.
You know, did right it with now. My outline, which they always do.
But he already heard the guy say, here's Larry, and he did the setup saying...
He's so tired, he's lost track of time.
Well, back with, I guess.
About another year here.
You'll see, hear the pause.
The end
now.
Of the year gets very long.
After the guy gives the answer.
Whatever you may have done, I mean...
Larry
you enough
doesn't think he's on the air.
Until you write the end, at the end of it, you got nothing. Even, you know, you can't sell anything until you finish the last page.
He's great.
Huh?
Who's your agent?
ICM, Esther Newberg.
I know Esther.
Lovely woman.
I use Sterling Lord.
Oh, you do? Sterling was my agent for years and years and years.
Yes.
I like him. He's not vigorous.
No.
But he has a kind of nice manner.
Yeah.
I think if I were a full-time writer, I don't think I'd use Sterling. I like someone more.
Yeah.
For me, it's fine. You know, I get these.
What?
Well, I just got a real nice advance to do a book on growing up in Brooklyn. Like Russell Baker did about Baltimore, right about just what the street was like in the neighborhood.
Well, you got four books already behind you.
Yeah. Yours on the bestseller list yet?
It's not yet. It's only been out 1 month, and the bestseller list is 2 weeks behind, as you know. But it's had wonderful sales in Europe. I'm really astonished.
Same cover?
I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. I don't like the cover. It's got two messages. Yeah, it's okay. It's got two messages on it, both of which are you know, sort of against the female.
Can't read this.
Yeah. The pause is in the back.
He doesn't know the police telling him either.
Oh, he's telling them.
He's been on the air the whole time.
2.5 minutes.
Overnight radio.
This is on the air.
Yeah.
Where do you live?
Where do you live?
I have an apartment in New York, but I really live mostly in Connecticut, in New Canaan.
East side?
West side. Right opposite the Museum of Natural History.
Nice. I like this.
Yeah.
It's really growing, that area. Columbus.
Yeah. Lots of empty stores, you know. And you, these guys, these landlords who jack up the rents and force people out that have been there for years, now in our times, in the recession, they're stuck with it. Good.
Damn right.
You like that.
Bye, Lou. More silence. And a room of techs looking at him, knowing he's on the air.
Yeah. Not doing a thing. What are you doing?
I'll be back. We've never gone anywhere. We're still out. Now, I thought we were on a break. Okay, so we've been sitting here all the time talking and not talking. Does anybody signal me? Are we on a break? Did we take a break? No, we're back. Well, you never signal me back from a break.
Fire.
Are we on?
Fire.
Okay, thanks. Did anyone ever say, here's Larry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you hear it, Robert?
No, I did not.
Robert didn't hear it, and I didn't hear it. I'm just talking to the crew. I realized we're on. I looked up. I saw the light. Neither of us ever heard a signal come back.
Right.
So we have been sitting here. Welcome to the Larry King Show. Our guest is Robert Daly. We're going to pause for news headlines, a word from your local stations. And when we come back, we will take your phone calls. Our numbers are 703-685-2177. And this is semi-hysterical. Yeah, we are on. Thank you. Okay, all I'm telling you is, Mr. Daly and I were sitting here.
Mr. Daly.
The last I remember was breaking for commercial, and we never came back. We never came back. So if we came back, we thank you. And if you heard us talking, I don't know what we were talking about, Robert.
We're talking about agents and things like
that. Agents.
Yeah,
and
much interest.
Couldn't have been. If you heard, whatever you heard, we didn't curse.
I didn't curse.
And as always, when caught with his pants down.
Yeah, blame
always,
others.
These dem and dose. We didn't curse, if you heard it.
Let's blame the other guy.
The other guy. I'm okay.
It's the other guy that did it.
Because you see, Larry is working at that time in a setup unlike we have.
Yes.
He's in a room with a microphone and the guy he's interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a piece of glass, and then there's a guy in the next room where Buzz is, the engineer.
Running the control.
Who says, you're on the air, and it starts off and goes, and now here's Larry.
Here's Larry, and he gets pointed at.
Now, as soon as Larry puts his legs up and starts doing the...
Where do you live?
At that point, the engineer, if he's on Larry King's side...
Would wave violently and say, hey, you're on the air. Yeah. Look at the light. Look at the light.
Right.
Not in this case.
Instead, they ran tape on it.
They were running tape the whole time and had a big old laugh.
And just so you know...
Because Larry was loved by his peers.
Again, here's the beginning of that segment. You just heard the end
this is good.
With Larry saying, we never came back. Listen, here's the beginning of it.
And now, live from Washington, D.C., here's Larry.
My guest is Robert Daly. His newest book is A Faint Cold Fear.
That's it.
It is published...
He knows he's on the air.
Right,
he's
there.
Back, he knows.
This is the bottom of the hour. 703-685.
Did you hear his Larry? Larry heard here's Larry.
Right.
Well, I know pretty well what I want to do.
Okay, anyway, that's...
And when he gives that first answer, that's when Larry just drifts away.
Right.
Because Larry's exhausted again.
Now, this poor schmuck... He's giving his answer directly into the microphone.
Then he notices the change in the rhythm and assumes that they're not on the air.
Right.
I mean, it's the guest. He's not obligated to do anything.
Right. We're talking about another year here. And the end of the year gets very...
They hear Larry going...
Whatever you may have
you hear
done,
the chair as he leans back.
Until you write the end, at the end of it, you got nothing. Even, you know, you can't sell anything until you finish
the
last page.
He's ready.
There it is.
That's it. They're not in the air now.
Yay. Thank you for playing.
And this is his own agent, which is a nice little detail in there. Which is a nice detail.
Who's your agent?
Who's your agent?
All right, well, happy anniversary, Larry.
Yeah. Larry King. Lots of all Super Dukes at the top of the aisle. It'll be good to see the Duker again.
The best.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, Buzz?
Yes. Oh, boy.
Trying to be half the journalist that man is.
I think I'm up to it.
When we come back.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
All right, we'll get Buzz's take on the news as we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's a word from Planet Crackpot.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
You know.
You know.
Do you have hair in your special place?
the mayors of Boner City, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
My phone has a mind of its own.
Time now for Charlie's News. Hi there, Charles. How are you?
Hi, Donna, Mike. I'm
time
well.
For Charles P. Elston and the news.
I was hoping.
Hi, guys.
Really, really hoping there'd be no new developments today in the case of the Virginia Tech shooter, but there are.
You know, that's okay, Buzz, because I think we are ready to deal with it now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, at least just ready to deal with the facts.
Uh-huh.
Once again, very proud we are. I keep talking like Yoda.
Right.
But our website, DonnaMikeWebsite.com, pretty kick-ass website we got going. Thanks to Craig and everyone else behind the scenes working on that. And a pretty good dialogue going on between the gun nuts and the people who think correctly.
Well, there'll be more posts after that.
There sure will, Mike.
There sure will. Way to stoke the fire.
Anyway, that stuff's on the website, so we don't have to jaw about it here. What is the latest,
Here's
Buzz?
The new stuff you need to know. NBC News today, when the mail arrived, saw that they had a package from Cho Sheng Wei, the shooter at Virginia Tech. He had apparently mailed this package between the first and second shootings, according to the time code. It is, they're calling it a multimedia manifesto. There are pictures, there are videos, and there are written statements, all on a compact disc that were sent to NBC. NBC shared this with the FBI, the New York City Police, and now it's been turned over to investigators in Blacksburg, Virginia as well.
You know what, though? It's a testament to the United States Postal Service.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty fast.
Yeah, very quick.
Not quick enough.
I don't know what else to say.
I
don't know how to respond to that either. This is going to help
very much
in profiling and all
yeah.
that good
yeah.
stuff.
They've looked at this material. In fact,
not that it matters right now to the families.
Of course not. You'll be seeing this material probably later tonight on NBC. And yes, investigators say that they believe this information and the material on this compact disc will be very, very helpful to them.
The Postal Service continues to do a fine job, even with one of their best employees in Bangkok.
This is Robert the Mailman.
That's right.
He'll be back soon, though.
He will, to take care of all of this.
Now,
safe home, Robert.
Godspeed.
Here's the other development today. We found out today that a court order 2 years ago declared Cho mentally ill and, quote, an imminent danger to others.
Jesus.
The court referred him to a mental health facility in 2005, but they couldn't make him go because he hadn't issued any kinds of threats. Officers were at that time checking into reports that he was suicidal and that he was stalking female students.
Didn't I read today that he was stalking two female students, like you say, and they both complained, but then
they filed a report.
You get to a point, trust me, I have some history on this. You get to a point with the stalker where the cops say, do you want to do something or not?
Right.
And I guess both of these girls said, no, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
And apparently, and the cops could have acted on their own if he directed or issued some kind of threat, but he never did. So the police were relatively powerless, even though apparently a number of people knew that this guy was pretty messed up. A former professor says, in his opinion, Cho wasn't troubled. He was mean.
And, you know, the more that I reflect on yesterday's show and the show before that and the events at VTech, all I can say is, not really in defense of the shows that we did, but, and I still feel this way to a certain extent now that we're talking about this here, does anybody else have the feeling like it's 9/11? I know it's not. I know it's not the same thing.
I did get that feeling.
Please don't give me the argument that there were no guns used in 9/11, that it was planes.
No, it's the same feeling of helplessness. Absolutely.
But, you know, and it's also the fact that we are being bombarded with this now, over and over, as we've said, with the little stuff in the corner, with the logos and the rifle sniper sight.
Yeah, it's similar in that respect, and it's also similar. The scale of it is so significant that you just feel helpless. And it's the same type of thing, you know, where people are playing the blame game and trying to figure out, you know, who could have done what when it really doesn't matter. It's not going to bring those kids back.
Yeah,
and it's very frustrating.
And I think, at least speaking for myself, that's where a lot of this was coming from with me. I've always felt this way about guns. It's no big secret. It's just, and not that it's 9/11, but you stop and think about it when you get rid of all the stupid hype.
Jesus Christ, that's a lot of people that are dead.
A lot.
Because of one dumb ass. Let's not bring it down to guns or anything else.
Right.
That's disturbing.
Yeah, I heard somebody say today that really, you know, they're talking about the school security, the police department on VTech's campus, and you're talking about guns, and you're talking about different things and pointing the finger here and there. But the fact is, it comes down to this one guy.
It was
it really does. And I do hope that whatever material was received from this guy can give them some kind of indication. But even when you say that, they did have an indication on this guy that he was going to snap, that he was going to go, you know, that he was going to go nuts. And you really, the way the law is structured, and there's nothing that I could see to change that, there's nothing you can do.
People say he seemed cold. He'd stopped sleeping. He was getting up at 5:30 in the morning. His roommate said Cho would barely say two words to him. That he generally looked like he was crying behind his sunglasses.
I speak with a little bit of experience in that I had a roommate who was a disturbed guy who was not right. And you know the way on a college
Tony Perkins.
That man is Tony Perkins.
This was a guy that we called at Marist College, where I went for a couple of years when I was rooming with Bill O'Reilly. Now, it was a guy named Birdman, and he got the nickname because he hung out one of the sixth-floor windows in a bedsheet one time saying, "I'm a bird." This is before I got to the campus. He was a senior. I was a sophomore.
Whoa.
And he was just, you know, the way in the way it is in college, yeah, you avoid these guys. You probably, you know, chuckle about them a little bit. You just don't, you never think that something like this is going to happen.
With that guy, did you even have a remote thought that he'd be dangerous? Did you just think, hey, it's some nutty, drunk college idiot?
You know, I'm not trying to, you know, equate my situation to anything like what this guy was about, because, I mean, people are people. But the thing is, later on, it was I think two or three semesters after that, I was in another residence house, and we actually had one roommate leave. I lost a roommate. He lost another roommate. He'd had dozens of them. And we actually went up on, into the kitchen of this residence house and drew straws who was going to get to room with Birdman. It lasted for me. I drew the short straw on this. It lasted probably about 4 or 5 nights. And all I remember was I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would hear him having very significant animated conversations with himself in the middle of the night. And shortly thereafter, I made other living arrangements to get out of that situation. But I never, you know, certainly in those days, I didn't think, you know, this is a guy that we should report. And I think you're going to see more and more people that are in a college environment like that, if you've got the guy, because they exist on college campuses.
It doesn't have to be just in college.
It can be anywhere.
I'd like to report Joe Ardinger.
Joe Ardinger, yes, the loner.
Before it's too late.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'll be the guy who interviewed on TV saying, I worked with him for 10 years, and he seemed absolutely normal. He enjoyed his barbecue chicken and his Skittles.
He was a loner, pretty much kept to himself.
And he played that game every day.
One thing that is so weird is because not only the proximity of Tech to here, but Centerville is very close by. I think all of us have had connections.
Yeah, you bet we have, right?
I found out this morning my cousin Mark went to middle school with this guy.
Yeah.
And in middle school, he was a loner. No one ever talked to him. And Mark, my cousin, is like the nicest guy ever. Actually approached him and tried to strike up a conversation and could not.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been this way for a long
school
time.
School counselor said he seemed as angry with himself as he did. He hated himself as much as he hated everyone else.
But he did the work. He did the work. Graduated high school.
Right.
Went to college. Right. Was in a program. You know, was getting good grades in college. Right.
What is it with hateful people?
That's a good question.
Isn't it, though?
What?
What hateful people?
What? I don't hear what you're saying. What?
Talk to the hand, Rob.
What? I don't hear what you're saying.
Who is he talking to?
I'll write you a note.
There have been over a dozen security scares at college campuses across the country in the last day or so. At Virginia Tech this morning, SWAT teams moved in on Burroughs Hall, where the university president's office is located. It, like at least 10 other incidents across the U.S., turned out to be nothing. There were lockdowns and evacuations.
What did he do?
He wrote me a note. That just says hate.
Yes. It's Rob.
It's on his knuckles, isn't it?
Yeah. Look at
it. And he wrote it in that goofy way. Right.
Rob. A little flower. There were lockdowns and evacuations at schools in Louisiana, both Dakotas, Michigan, Oklahoma, Arizona, Texas, and Tennessee. Classes and events were canceled.
Did they find out what the deal was on Virginia Tech's campus today? I mean, that had to freak everybody out.
It turned out to be absolutely nothing. I mean, no details, but it was nothing.
What's going on now? What did he write now?
The card that he wrote hate on, on the other side, he wrote, mail this to NBC.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Rob Spiewak. Send your cards and letters to Rob Spiewak.
Oh, I love you, Rob. You're great.
If you don't cry.
You're great, Rob.
Don't laugh.
God damn, you're great. Tomorrow, remind me, let's talk about that. That godson of mine who figured out how to lock his mother out of the room.
Oh, but you know what? If I had thought of that years ago, we would have had something.
Yes, Robert's son, Rob's son, actually has figured out how to lock himself in his room.
You need to correct this.
Rob's son, Bam Bam, was driving Rob's wife, Betty Rubble, crazy today.
Oh, it was horrible.
By locking himself in a room.
I got a call from Carrie. She put me on speakerphone, and she says, talk to your son. I said, Robert opened the door. He said no, and then she started talking, and she said, Rob, you're not saying anything. I said, trying to, waiting for a pause.
Is he still in the room with the door locked?
Yeah, he has been, but it's only been like 10 hours. 10 hours.
10 hours.
He's got to come out eventually.
Wow.
Tonight we fixed the doorknob.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
That's great. The boy is growing up enough that he's figured out how to lock mommy out of the bedroom.
And the reason was is they had to go pick Julia up at school and he didn't want to go. So it's not just the physics of locking the door.
Oh, he actually had a reason
for it. He had a reason.
Oh, dear.
That's right.
You better get him good presents. Christmas and birthday's got to be big time.
Or he'll be reversing the lock on my door. Son, there's work.
I'm not coming out, Dad. I'm not coming out at all.
Dad.
F you, Dad.
It's always funny when I'm with Rob and his family to see his kids call him Daddy.
Yeah.
You know, because he's a monster.
Hard to buy.
You have trouble processing that, right?
Yeah. It's like when I would watch the Munsters and I would see Eddie Munster go, you know, hi, Dad.
Doesn't make sense.
You know.
Just doesn't sound right.
It's like, I feel like someone on the Munsters is like, am I the only one that sees Rob the way that he truly is?
Herman.
Right. You're Marilyn.
You know, someone would come to Herman Munster's door, and like their eyeballs would go, boy, oy, 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 you look like Frankenstein.
And then, of course, somebody in the family would say, Dad. And then, it's funny.
Yeah,
it is.
It is. It's funny to me, even.
Well, students, especially the ones at Virginia Tech, are on edge these days. Suspicious items found in the last 24 hours include an umbrella and a yoga mat. But a note found in a bathroom at a high school in Montana promised something worse than Virginia Tech. The note read, you haven't seen anything yet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That would be a copycat. And I think
find that guy, too.
We're used to that, aren't we?
Find that guy.
Hey, here's some good news.
Okay.
Penthouse is no longer considered porn by the Shell Oil Company.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Good. It's perfect. Well, Penthouse isn't porn anymore.
What about the vagina?
Yeah, what about man is porn?
That is.
That they won't carry.
Doesn't Penthouse still offer beautiful women
no.
tinkling?
No, they stopped that.
They don't?
They don't do that anymore.
I know.
They don't even show good stuff.
That's right. That's why I canceled my subscription. Right. I said, sign me out as no tinkle equals no subscription.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's the stuff you want.
You're in love with the magazine.
Feel the weight of this.
Like, we got a break. Yeah.
Feel the weight of this magazine.
Shut up. We'll be right back.
Not old paper.
You know.
You know, Don Buttman.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We're from Planet Krepa.
The Don and Mike Show.
No Sims, no Steve. Just Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I guess he's back on the phone.
Is he back again?
Hi, Tommy.
Hi, guys.
Hi, hey, Tom. How are you?
Tom. Am I going to be on the air with him a little bit?
You're on the air, Tom.
Oh. Where's Joe?
Joe's in the back room.
We just had a really great conversation with Tom during the commercials. John, did we tape that thing?
I got every second of it.
It's going to require a lot of editing.
You bet it is. Yeah, we had a nice, dirty conversation with Tom Gavin.
Uh-huh. All right, Tom. See you later.
Hey, John.
Yes, Tom.
Where's John Norman at?
He's right here.
Hey, John Norman.
Hey, what?
Hey, buddy.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, buddy.
Can we go and go to the news, Tom?
What?
It's time to get Buzz's newscast so we can all go home.
Hey, it's time for Buzz's news and time to go home.
Hang up, Tom.
How do you spell how do you spell Mongo Lloyd?
I think he's gone.
That is simply the sound of someone typing.
Typing vigorously. Yeah.
Anyway, we just had a great conversation with Tom that we'll edit down and play during tomorrow's show for
you. Very exciting. Try.
How you doing, Buzz?
Hi, Donna Mike. Penthouse Magazine, no longer considered porn at your friendly Shell gas station.
All right.
Actually, Shell owns it.
Shell, you know, owns the Circle K convenience stores down south, and some self-proclaimed family group had convinced Shell that Playboy and Penthouse are pornography.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And that they shouldn't be sold at Circle K. Well, Shell has now decided to make its own decisions and has started letting its Circle K stores start selling those two magazines as they did in years gone by.
Do you have hair in your special place?
They used to be sold only at the Circle J.
Panty hamster get a spin on its wheel?
The company says it has a new magazine category called Adult Sophisticates. It says Playboy and Penthouse fall into that category, not porn.
So you can please yourself.
Crash investigators now say that the SUV carrying Governor John Corzine of New Jersey had hit 91 miles an hour.
Uh-oh, jungle!
Not long before it crashed on the Garden State Parkway last week. The speed limit just north of Atlantic City, 65.
You know what they should have put on that SUV?
A governor.
Thank you.
The official governor, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, was critically injured in a swerve to avoid mishap. Doctors say he's stable, but they're not sure when he might be able
I used to date her.
To breathe on his own. Who did they?
Mishap.
And finally, is it okay to steal if you have irritable bowel syndrome?
Yes!
What do you think, Rob? There should be some compensation, don't you think? A 61-year-old woman in Cape Coral, Florida, was arrested Sunday for shoplifting at a Publix grocery store.
I said, oh, my Lord, it can't be true. It can't be true.
No, it is, ma'am.
I was so excited.
Well, of course.
And the girls were just absolutely overcome.
Right, okay, honey. Thank you.
This woman reportedly entered the Publix store, took a shopping bag out of her purse, and started filling it with things. And then she left the store without paying. Quoting her to the police, I have IBS and I couldn't wait in line. Nobody's buying that, so she's now charged with petty larceny. If there's a package of Depends in that bag, she might have a case.
Uh-huh.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No. That's it. He's got a dog.
No.
You know, Mike.
That was some quality censored radio right there.
F you, Don. Where's Charlie?
He's right here. F head.
We'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
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 Head, now that you got your TV back.
My colon is on fire, and never once have I stolen even a stick of gum. Never.
Bye, Sangina.
Sure hope you can get the door locked to your house.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Thank you.